Hello, everybody out there in the internet. Welcome to Aimless Babble Z, episode 321. I'm Ticketmaster, joined by
RPG Maniac 05
and Trioptical.
See, I've got so much been planned. Probably not a middle segment.
And the news. Adventures into Aimless Land.
Oh, wait, before we begin, there's something I wanted to bring up last week. I was thinking about it after we stopped, or after we wrapped last week, about the whole escalation of hardware releases. I was like, maybe it was a thing that they did to, like, as, like, suppliers like Sony and Microsoft putting out, like, more hardware all the time. Maybe they did it for, like, to, like, appease retailers if they're like, well, if we're making more money on digital as far as games, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, retailers are, and, like, yeah, maybe this is how we can appease the retailers if they're not making as much money on the discs being sold in stores or something, but I don't know what the numbers are, so, Maybe not. Who knows?
Well, retailers do love those revenue numbers. They don't talk about profit a lot. Or, you know, they talk about to investors, but in the store, it's like, it's all about revenue. So maybe. Also, I understand, like, consoles used to be loss leaders, where they sold the consoles at a loss, and that seems less and less the case these days. So maybe, like, they are coming out with these machines and they are higher profit margin than ever before. And the retailers are like, yeah, sell more boxes, which they can only ever buy at places like this.
Yeah. And if their, like, strategy is to, like, get you hooked into their platform, just get all digital. It's like, you can't trade those games in, man. They're just on your hard drive all the time. You can't go to the store and be like, oh, I want to trade this in for that. And, like, here's a used copy you can sell for, like, 100% profit. Cause, you know, you didn't, just use games. Somebody else's, it's not yours. Or some distributor that you bought it from. You can all the profit off of that, so yeah. But yeah, you know, just something to think about. Now we can go back to what you've been playing. And I've been playing this game called Switch Galaxy Ultra on my Vita, and it's kind of weird. I'm not sure I understand what it is. It's a weird game. I mean, it's not a weird game, but it's not a very orthodox soul, like, oh, this is this type of game. It's like, it's basically, it's a lot of things into one type of thing situation, because you got the multiple lanes that you go down, a la a game like Audio Surf or Amplitude, and it's just like, oh, let me switch lanes. But then as you're going through the lanes, there's little blocks, I guess I'll call them, that you hit, and they're different colors. But before you hit the blocks, you can get these power-ups that let you go through the blocks, and then they don't take away from your resources or score. And I say resources, because also in the game there's a story. I've been skipping over it just because I was, like, tired when I first started it up, and I was like, whatever. And it was like, I just didn't like the presentation, but it's like, I mean, it's neat because it's different, but I'll go back and look at it because it's in the menu of, like, oh, check out where you're at in the comic. And it's like, it's presented to you through some like, comic art. And you're in space, it takes place in space, as you're transporting these things, they're called, it's like whatever the resources that you're collecting, I was just like looking at it, and it's like, this doesn't make any sense, but I was like, whatever, I'll go back and like read the whole thing, I guess it might actually make sense. It just goes along, and you're just like some trader dude in space, transporting your materials, space trucker, I guess, as you hit blocks and stuff. But that's weird! Because it keeps introducing, like, more and more, like, threats to you. It's like, first you're going along, and it's like a tutorial mode of, like, every time something happens, it's like, oh, these little thingies are, like, the things that you go through. Or these little thingies are you get to collect the things to go through the blocks. Or these little thingies are bombs, and they blow up the blocks. Or these things are little drone ships, and you don't really need to worry about them, but they can get in your way. And these things are things that you can get to siphon money and resources off the drone ships. It keeps adding and adding, and but it's like, in the context, it just doesn't make any sense, and I'm just like, yeah, but I keep going, and it's like, whatever. But then it's got, like, that one mechanic I don't like where, oh, what was that game that did that? I think it wasn't Super Mario Galaxy 2, I think it was New Super Mario Brothers on DS, or 3DS, or whatever, where it's like, you have to have a certain amount of, let's see, points or something, or like a number, you have to like hit this number. And if you don't have, like, a certain number of whatever the thing is that you're getting, then you can't progress to the next part of the game, because you don't have enough thingies. I'm calling them thingies because I don't know if they're called, but it doesn't matter because it's stupid anyway. So it's like, if you don't have the thingies, you can't get to the next stage, and like there's a bunch of nodes on the map that connect them all, so you have to like just keep trying over and over to get more thingies until you can get to the next stage. And yeah, I'm just going along with it because I'm like, whatever, I have nothing. Well, it's not like I don't have anything else to play, it's just like I'll play it and just try to get through it and then say I finished it and it's off the backlog. But I'm kind of like annoyed because I bought this on PS4 as well because I think it's cross-buy, and I was like playing this and I'm like, this game was a waste of money. So now it's like I used to be like, oh, if something's on sale in the store like under $5, I'll totally buy it. But after playing this, I was like, eh, at least it was only $5. So it's like, you know, I guess you can actually find a game where it's like, this game is not worth that very low amount of money I paid for it, but whatever. I mean, I don't have the sound on, so maybe the music's amazing or something, there's some sort of redeeming factor, but right. I mean, it is cool, the presentation, but it's like, the story is just really slow going, and just, I mean, I guess they tried. I mean, it's basically like just some racing game with like no story, and it's like, oh, just some racing game, whatever. Eh, whatever. I guess when you played Uncharted 4, you can only go down from there, right? What can I say? So, yeah. Sorry, Switch Galaxy Ultra. Hard to follow that act. Besides that, so I switched to that after I finished Volume. I downloaded a bunch of games I had like on the store that I was like, oh, let me just download a bunch of stuff to my Vita and then proceed to go through them, and that was at the top of the list. I think I played like another round or match in Super Mega Baseball. It's still awesome. I'm not going to talk about it again. And then, wow, I did not play a lot of stuff. I'll talk about it. Oh, I don't want to talk about it. Okay, so I've been playing a lot of Destiny, and I'm almost to the part where I can walk free. It's great. I feel amazing. It's like, it's weird though, because it's like, I don't know, man, this game, I totally have like battered wife syndrome with it, because it's like, I'll get to a point and it like reminds me of all the times where I was at this point previously in the game of like,
well, I got all my stuff. I don't need to do raids anymore. I can just play trials and Eric just walk off into the sunset. I don't need to do strikes. I don't need to do the dailies. I don't need to do the weeklies. It's like, I just at the point where I can like walk away and like, this is the last time. And I'm like, I'm never coming back. But then I'm kind of like, what if the next expansion is really awesome? Or what if they announce something that's like really awesome? I'm like, not again. No, we're not doing this again. So now it's like, I don't know what happened. I was so upset on being free, but now I'm like, kind of hopeful again of like, well, maybe next time, or maybe the next thing. But yeah, basically all I'm missing, because I have all the exotic armor, I have all the exotic class items. The only thing I'm missing is, Dreg's Promise. I don't have one of those for year two. Chaperone, I have the quest, I just haven't done the strike, whatever. And then there's some other exotic I don't have. That's a special weapon as well. Let's see, Dreg's Promise. Chaperone. And of course it's so important I don't even remember what it is. Oh, it's in Meteor, the new one that came out with the April update. So, you know. In time. And I still need to like run back all the year one quests and stuff with like my Hunter and Titan. Warlock's done it, and then there's some patrol crab, and then I got my Festival of the Lost stuff. Just, it's still there, because I didn't abandon it, because I was like, shaking my fist the first time through. I was like, this effing, no rewards, why did I, but then it bugged me, because it's like, on my quest screen, of like, I feel like I failed it, and I was like, I can't do that, no. But then I'm like, well, Festival of the Lost in October, which is after September, so there's a possibility I could be playing this game after I said I would stop playing this game. But I'd rather walk away from the game 100% complete, and, like, leave nothing on the table to be like, and then be like, oh, well, I didn't get those Festival of the Lost quests done. So it's like, if I don't do that, it's going to eat away at me for, like, ever. And just, like, yeah, in the back of my mind. So it must be vanquished. And, yeah, I'm going to just party up with my Trials buddies on the weekend, or my Trials mercenary buddies on the weekends, and do some Trials, go for Flawless, get some sweet drops, get the Flawless emblem I don't have yet, and hopefully the ship. And hopefully the Scarab emblem I don't have, and I think there's like one shader they added after the April update, so there's some Charles crap I need. I'm not going to be super butthurt about it, because it's like, that's the same thing I happened last year. I was like, well, I don't have that class item from the Crota raid, or the whatever from Charles. So whatever, I'll end it, move on, because I'd rather be at peace than be all, ugh, Destiny, I didn't get it all, ugh, because I'm, yeah, whatever. I'm already looking forward to playing Deus Ex in August, so it's whatever. It's like, I'm so ready. E3 is almost here. There's gonna be like new things on the horizon. To, like the smelly, terrible abomination of a game that I've been playing for over a year. It's depressing over like almost 2,000 hours. Oh,
That's, ugh, it makes me want to vomit when I say that. Ugh. Well, Tekken Y. Lessons learned, people of the internet that are listening to this. It's like, you know, I realize, you know, these MMO things, they just aren't for me. It's like, this is like the closest I've come to like playing some MMO thing, and like, yeah, I was hooked, and like, yeah, there's some high points, but there are also low points, and it's like, I'm never going back. So, you know, unless it has like Mass Effect on the box, or does like that thing I talked about in that one episode, where I was like, man, these are the ideas I have for a game like this. I completely forgot what they were, but every time I see a game do it, like The Division, I'm like, ooh, but then I'm like, Destiny, it did that to me, and I didn't enjoy it, but I kept going back, because it's Better Wife Syndrome, but yeah, not this time. Oh, actually, I did play something else besides that stupid Destiny game. I played Hitman, so new mission out today. Oh, not today, yesterday. There's like some sort of like bug I had though that they tweeted out, and I was like, oh, I had that one. Like, or I was one of the few that had it. I guess I got the update, but then I couldn't go to the store and get the new episode, and I was like, oh, I had to wait. So I couldn't play it before raid time. That happened. Marrakesh in Morocco. It's pretty cool, because it's like, there's this whole situation at the consulate. There's like almost a riot. There's a ton of NPCs. Really, really feels different than like all the other missions. It feels similar to the last mission in Sapienza, but it's completely different tone. Just because it's so open, it's just like a giant market. There's a giant embassy compound, and there's like a other place that's like a field HQ for this general that you gotta take down. It's cool this too, because like today when I was playing it, I was just like running through, because like it was almost podcast time, and then I was like running through the stage, or that part of the stage, and like I saw my little suspicion meter go up, and like as I passed some person, and like it turned out to be the target, and he was like, oh, what's that, or something, and he got like suspicious of me and just started following me, so I was like, ooh, I smell a opportunity here. So I basically just like I kited him into a room where there are no guards, and he was just like following me, and then I pulled out my son's pistol and shot him in the face. I was like, yeah, got him, and it was great. And just, yep, that feeling of satisfaction when I got my suit and tie, someone's gonna die, Agent 47 style, and just, yeah, and just, I killed him, and it was great, and, yeah, killing targets in that game. And there's, like, a new Sarajevo 6 mission, there's another elusive target mission. Oh, that was a fun time, too, actually, because I was, like, bumbling around in the stage, and I just, like, stumbled upon the target, I was like, oh, there he is! And I was like, okay, well, there's a bunch of suspicious enemies nearby, so if I like stick out, they're just gonna like look at me and they're gonna get suspicious, and then they're gonna come over and like investigate. And I was like, you know what? I didn't feel like doing this right now. So I just pulled up my silenced pistol, leaned around the corner, and shot him in the face. He ran off, and I was like, yeah, got him. So, you know, yeah, that's how you Agent 47 got to do it sometimes. It's like, oh, well, you think you're safe? You think you're in the wine cellar just inspecting the wine? There's nobody here that's gonna want to do anything to you? Well, you're wrong, because Agent 47 is right around the corner. And he just popped out the cover and shot you in the face. Hey, feel like that? Yeah, you don't feel anything, because you're dead. Ooh, suck it. So, but yeah, like, I'm really looking forward to the elusive target on Marrakesh, because it is just a nightmare. I was like playing it, and I was like, this would be a nightmare for elusive target, because there's so many NPCs. There's like a sea of people and like two buildings that you would have to like scour. Whereas like for like the last target, it's like you knew he was staying with the dude in that mission in Sapienza, so it's like there's gonna be somewhere in the mansion. And I was like, well, let me just try to get access to the mansion, and then like I ended up randomly getting like into the basement, like, because I went to the like wrong way, like where I usually go, and I was like confused because I hadn't played in such a while, because like, if you don't play Hitman, like, you forget your routes. I was just, like, bumbling through. I was like, oh, whatever, I'll just work my way through the mansion. I'm in the basement now, let's see if I can find him. And he ran to me, and I was like, oh, well, here he comes. Mwahahaha. And I hatched my evil scheme to kill him. It was great. But, that's all I've been playing. And I've been enjoying the Hitman still. delicious.
Yeah, I guess if you only have the first episode, you don't get to play all the elusive targets, so... little bit false advertising on the store.
Oh, also, no effing, no May update for Street Fighter V. Thanks, Capcom. Thanks for, like, dropping the ball on the games of service. That is a ship that we're totally crashing. I mean, Capcom can't do it. Square Enix, IO Interactive, good job. Capcom, go for yourselves. Also, go for yourselves because you're like, oh, let's release a trailer for Buki. Ha ha, just kidding, she's coming out at the end of June. And I've been, you know, waiting patiently for these updates for Street Fighter, and I know it's like the last day in the month. So it's like, it's not like June 20th, it's like June 30th or 31st, dude. Like, the last effing day, like, whatever the last day is, like, that's what they do. It's like, oh, we're gonna say it's the end of the month. They literally mean the end of the month, like the last day of whatever that month is. It's like, ah, effing Capcom, whatever. Glad I didn't buy the season pass. Oh, just then. How do you like that?
Season pass hasn't given anyone anything yet, I don't think. I think all it gives you so far is all you get is Guile's stage.
But at least we get the story mission, or the story mode update. Too bad it's at the very end of the month. Oh. Yeah, I'm going to be tooting my horn about this all month long, guys, because, you know, the waiting. I would be like super complaining if I was someone that like bought the disc version. That's like the reverse of what the Hitman is, of like, oh, we'll release the disc version when all the stuff's out and you can just get the game, take it home and play all of it. It's like, no, we're gonna get the disc and then slowly as we update it, and like, we mean super slow because we're Capcom. Have fun with that. Please be excited. Whatever. Video games. Developers. Publishers. Money.
Pretty crazy, actually, because I've been following Heroes of the Storm esports, right? And like, that's what everyone thinks Capcom did for Street Fighter V. They released it in the way it was because of esports. They wanted to make the Capcom Cup tournament or whatever. And so, but it's interesting. Like, Heroes of the Storm is constantly getting updated. You know, more and more characters are added to the game, and so, you know, you go to the next tournament and it's like, oh, now there's like, these characters are all different now, and then there's this new character. And Street Fighter V, not quite as much, but a little bit is happening like that. Like,
yeah, I saw a story on Shuriken about, like, is Ibuki going to be allowed at EVO? Is she not going to be allowed at EVO? Who knows?
Because it seems like sometimes Heroes of the Storm, they don't allow the new one, because they tend to be super powerful at the beginning. So, maybe. But I did see, was it Axel?
Yeah.
Alex? Yeah, he was in a tournament recently, so it's been long enough. I haven't seen Guile in any of the tournaments, but I've been following a whole bunch of them.
I haven't even booted up the game to play Guile. I'm like, man, I need to fight a Street Fighter so I can get good again and get when a Buki comes out so I can not be terrible at it. Ugh.
It's every time I see that they've release a new character, I go play for the 5 to 10 minutes that it takes to get through that character's story. And it's like, okay, I'm done. So, yeah, whenever it was that Guile came out, I played a little bit. So I mentioned last week, I think, that I rented TMNT Out of the Shadows, and I ended up only playing like the first 2 or 3 levels before I had to return it. It is, well, so I guess I don't know for certain, but I think I would like to play a multiplayer, because single player is very strange and extremely chaotic. It teaches you in the beginning that you're just controlling Leo, and it's like, oh, you have sort of like all the platinum action games. You got dodge and parry and block all on the same button, and they do different things. Or depending on what you do with the button, it does a different thing. So if you're holding it, it blocks. But it's not like a standing block like you would expect. The turtles like go into their shells and start spinning on the ground. And I guess that blocks everything. But if you spin too long, you get dizzy. And so like, there's like a meter that shows like how long you can spin. If you just press the button, it's like, I think it's L2. I only play a little bit, so it's like one of the triggers. You pull it, and if you pull it like right before you get hit, then it's a dodge, and like you dodge out of the way and you let go. This one is weird, like you hold it and then release it right before you get hit, then it's a parry, and then you can like turn around and hit them back. So it's like, okay. When you're doing it, it's like, okay, that seems fine. You know, just Leo and you're fighting these guys. And then they introduce all of the other turtles. And so 3 turtles appear around you. And then it's like, all right, now go do that stuff. And the other turtles, all AI controlled, like, they're just, you can set them to do what you want, but on default, it's just like, they go all out, and there's just like chaos and just fighting all around you. You're just like, when am I ever going to use this dodge or parry or block? Like, you can't tell what's going on. It's just, there's too much happening. And yeah, like on top of that, they added, ninjutsu. Like usually these games are just like, oh, you have, you know, regular attack and strong attack. And this one, they have like special moves, and the special moves are just very out there kind of stuff. Like there was one, I think it was Mike, and it's sort of like the Groovitron, and just like these disco balls appear, and there's just like disco lights going on, and they start dancing, and I guess they're invincible, and something happens to the enemies, and it's just like, I don't know what just happened, but I didn't die, so that's good. And yeah, so it's just like so many effects and stuff happening. And the mission structure is kind of strange. So it is like sort of this small open world area for each level. And then it'll tell you like, oh, the Foot are robbing this bank. Go stop them. And so you like go around and you have to find, okay, where's the bank? Okay, there's the bank. Beat up a bunch of Foot. And it's like, okay, it's done. And there's a bar at the top that fills as you do these little, I guess they're like side missions. And once it fills up, then you can go to the place where the boss is and fight the boss.
That is weird.
Very weird. Actually, the levels kind of remind me of like Jet Grind Radio. There's just like this big environment that's not necessarily linear. It's just like you go around it and there's like stuff to do inside of it. But yeah, that the progression is very strange. And, you know, you can unlock upgrades and like upgrade your ninjutsu and all this stuff and like buy items from the lair, like pizza and like speed drink and just like all this different stuff. And it's like, there is so much going on. And this is just level one. And it's like, oh, I beat level one. It's like, oh, all these ninjutsu just unlocked these upgrades. And I'm like, what? I don't know what any of those are. Like, they all have like in-game names. And I don't know what any of this is. It's just very overwhelming. And maybe if I had more time, and definitely if there were like other humans controlling the turtles, it might be really fun. But, single player is very, very strange. Other than that, I just spent most of the week playing Paragon. Over the weekend, actually during the free beta weekend, I played a bit with RPGE.
Did I was there.
How was it? Because I had to leave very quickly after that last one. We did win a match. We were 1-3. We lost the first two, but we got the third.
It was the last match though, so that's all that counts. All that counts.
Is it cool? Did you think it was fun?
Yeah, it was fun.
Cool. you've been getting thrashed in the first two.
Well, I hadn't played any of it, so it's like I didn't know how any of the character, like which characters I would like, so it was just like kind of like try random people and just hope one of them sticks. So it was weird. Because I mean, I guess it's like that for the most part for most MOBAs. It's like you don't, because if you just play for the first time, it's like, okay, I don't really know how any of these characters work.
There are 20
like
characters here. I have no idea who to think. Kind of like Street Fighter. Ooh.
Pretty much. I think, so right now there's 17 characters, and I actually read somewhere that the full version will have 39 characters, or they have like 39 characters planned already, and 17 are already out. Well, there was actually only 16 when we played. Just this Tuesday, they released a new tank guy. He reminds me of, like a combination between, I don't know, like the Hulk and Omega Red. Remember that character with the like grabby thingies? Yeah, like that's what, Richter, I think is his name, can do. So he can do cool things like stand under the tower and people will come over and then just like, lasso them and pull them under the tower. doesn't happen a lot, but when it does, you can get pretty good kills there. Yeah, for the first time this week, I went and looked at what exactly it was that I bought. Because when I bought the, I think they just called it the Founders Pack. It was like the cheapest. I basically looked at it and was like, this is the cheapest early access to Paragon on PS4. So I'm just going to get that one. And I had no idea, like, what the money was for. And this week I was like, okay. My goal right now is to get 75,000 reputation so that I can unlock the Master Challenge for Murdoch, which is the character that I've basically been using exclusively. And it has taken a long time. My game time is now a day. And so, like, over 24 hours.
It seems like it takes, like, a while to, like, gain stuff. Because it's like, I didn't even realize, like, the challenge thingy was there until I was, like, examining my character. And then I was like, yeah, you require this so-and-so to unlock the Master Challenge. And I was like, come, this seems like an arbitrary random number that they just threw in here. And then so it's like, okay. But then...
It was my taste of free-to-play, because I think, or like the free-to-play side of this game, because I actually spent money, but I was looking at it, and I think I reached like a level, a player level, and it gave me 50 coins, and the coins are like the premium money. I think they're selling 1,000 for $10, and I got 50, and I was like, cool, I have 50 premium money, what can I do with it? And I went to the store, I was like, nothing. I don't know what this is for.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it's not even close. Like, I think the cheapest thing you can buy with premium money is like 400. And I looked at, you know, sort of the level progression of like, when is the next time that I get free money? And it is a long way off. So I have 50 coins that I can do nothing with, probably ever.
You're welcome.
I was like, that's fine. And so yeah, back to the Master Challenge. I looked at it, I was like, wow, it's like 75,000 to unlock it. And then you have to play your character to level 10 to get the skin that comes with it. And I guess like that's the reward for Master Challenges. So unlike Heroes of the Storm, where it's just like, there's no way to get premium skins except paying money, you can get them in this, or at least one of them. It's just, you have to grind a lot to do it. Otherwise you can pay, I think it's over 1,000 coins for just to unlock it with cash. And so, but anyway, all of that. So like, okay, so wait a minute. I remember something about Master Challenges in the description of the thing that I bought. And I went and looked at the like highest level one, which I think is almost $100. And it was like 39 Master Challenges. You know, one for each character. I said, oh, so there's 39 of them. And then I thought, wait a minute. So that means I bought Master Challenges for specific characters? And I went and looked and realized that, oh, so that's why some of my characters have like this sort of star shape icon next to them. Like those are, they call them initiates. Like these have already started the challenges. So I own 3 Master Challenges for 3 characters that I haven't been playing at all. And at that point, okay, so I guess in that case, I will play a different character now. Try out, you know, building a different deck for a different character and seeing what this character is like. So I picked, Howitzer, which is the one, remember when Battleborn announced their, penguin in a mech? This is a Paragon's cat in a mech. And he shoots like rockets and stuff. And I guess his passive characteristic is that every time he gets a kill, it reduces the cooldown on all of his skills. And the overview says that you should focus on energy, upping your like attack damage basically, and cooldown reduction. So I built a new deck for him, all energy and cooldown. And then I realized, oh man, my cooldown is so fast when I get a level, but I have no mana because I use it up so quickly. So then I had to retool it, get some mana cards in there, get some health cards, and so I'm a bit more balanced now, but yeah, it's weird. It's not You remember I said it took 8 hours for me to understand the game and start, like, winning sort of deliberately? I guess the character is different enough that I'm having to learn it again. So, when I stopped playing Murdoch, I was at 50%, like, my win ratio. I was like, oh, that's cool. I finally, you know, fought my way back up to 50%. And then I started playing Howitzer, and now it's back down to, like, 40. I've lost so many games in a row. It's hard. I think Howitzer is better at, like, killing the minions than he is at killing, or maybe just the way I built him. Usually every game, or it might have to do with learning too, because that one game that we won, and I was Murdoch, I think I had like 10 kills and 4 deaths. And that never happened in the beginning. I was always like 0 kills and 3 deaths, or 4 deaths, or more than that. And all of my, like, contribution would be assists. And that's how it is right now. I have, like, 0 kills and, like, 6 deaths. And, like, 11 assists. Just can't secure those takedowns. It's very hard. But yeah, he, his ultimate is that it flies into the air, and then just a circle appears on the ground, and then just, like, tons of missiles and stuff fall into it. And so you can kill minion waves super fast. And if you're lucky, so I learned this later, like, when you're in the air and you're aiming this thing, you can actually, there's like a little bit of time where you can cancel it and just come back down. And also there's a little bit of time for you to throw your other abilities while you're up in the air. So usually, like, he has these slow grenades that he can just, they deploy in this small fan in front of him. But if you hit the slow grenade button while you're in the air before you fire this giant missile barrage, like, the slow grenades, like, they just fall in this giant spread out arc. And so that's what I do now. Like, I try to slow everyone in the circle that I'm about to bombard. Sometimes I think I've only gotten it to work once, and it was super cool. I got a double kill. One guy died in the barrage, and then I turned around and fired, like, my long-range missile at another guy, and just, like, totally guessing. The reticle wasn't even red, and I was like, I think maybe he'll be here in the 2 seconds that it takes for me to fire and the missile to get over there. And I hit him, and was like, oh, that was so cool. Happens very little to me. Yeah, I shared that 10-second clip on Twitter. One of my Murdoch double kills. I had never seen that before.
It got exploded.
Yeah, because, like, one time, this happened twice to me now. A person playing as Twin Blast, the guy who runs around really fast and has the two guns, he will get to a point where he can, like, three-shot you. And I was like, well, I have 1,900 health. So every shot is doing, like, 700 damage, 600 damage. That's crazy. But then, yeah, as I improved the deck that I was using, I was like, oh, actually, I can get that too. my Murdoch deck right now is totally focused on, there's like, some of the cards, if you upgraded them to full, they increase your critical damage by 50%. And I have 2 of those cards. And then all of my other cards, I'm, like, upgrading damage and, like, attack speed. So I got to a point where I could, my regular shot did 300, and then my critical was doing, like, 600. And, yeah, like, that ninja tried to jump down on me, and I was like, nope! And I hit him, and then he tried to cloak. He's like, well, you're still there, I think, because you got rooted. In 5 shots, he was dead. I was like, wow, that was amazing. And I turned, I was like, oh, there's another guy over there. I'll just shoot him with my big laser. And he died too. It's like, oh, that was so fun. Yeah, having a lot of fun with Paragon. It seems like the matchmaking has gotten speedier too since the open beta. And I don't know if it's because, like, Richter came out and people who had played it were like, oh, I want to play a new character. And so there's, like, more people playing, or... Because basically every game now, there's a Richter on either side.
Of course, because there's a new character, which means there's 9 more to go.
Yep.
9 more to go.
At least.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, I don't understand, like, how this is gonna work now. Because they're releasing their boxed Paragon in stores for this free-to-play game on June 7th. And I was like, okay, so you're gonna sell it on June 7th. Is it out then? Like, or are you still gonna call it, is it gonna be like beta in the way that Gmail is in beta still?
Like in forever beta?
Yeah.
It's like, guys, it's been years. It's been years.
I mean, I guess it's nice that they aren't going to wipe any of the stats or anything. So, as far as they're concerned, I guess the game is launched.
I mean, I guess we'll find out, because, like, if I try to play it that day and it actually lets me, then that means it is.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So,
because originally they had said open beta in the summer.
Yeah.
And so does that mean, like, open beta is launched? Or is it, like, actually going to be beta?
Because, I mean, it doesn't really make sense. Because, I mean, it's a free-to-play game. So, it's like, at that point, open beta just means you're pretty much, like, the game exists now. Cause,
yeah.
Like, and you're just, like, making adjustments as you go. It's going to be weird.
Because they still have, like, you can still sign up for the beta on the website. Yeah, very weird. But yeah, it is. It feels much closer to something I would, and I have been playing a lot of. Oh,
are there other modes in it, or is it just the one mode you played?
Just the one mode.
Oh, okay.
Oh, have you checked out Smite? Smite?
Yeah, I was playing it earlier today.
There's a ton of modes now. Like, they added everything from the PC version. So there is, like, a full, like, three-lane type MOBA mode in Smite as well.
There is, yes. Yes.
It's got trophies.
But I don't know how. I didn't, because, like, I've been examining some of the characters, but it's like, I don't know. Some of them seem like they'd be cool to play as, but then it also has that whole, you need this weird currency that is, like, not possible to get quickly, and it's like, well,
you're out of energy.
I guess I'll
activate the cha-ching machine. You know you want to.
Playing as this one character then forever, because
that's how free-to-play works. And they try to get you, but they don't.
Uh-huh. See, I don't. I wonder if they're gonna do that with Paragon at all. Because so far they keep saying, oh, all characters are free. Is that going to change? Or is it going to be like that all the time?
I mean, technically they are all free. It's that you have to unlock stuff.
Well, yeah, but, like, you don't have to do any of that right now. Like, right now it's, like, free and available.
For now.
Yeah, I guess I don't know if they're going to change that. Yeah, like, on the free-to-play stuff, I'm okay with free-to-play grinds if the game is fun. So, because, like, I would much rather prefer to be able to grind everything rather than have some stuff that's like, this is totally locked off unless you give us money. Well, with skins, I guess that's okay. Like, you can lock those off. I don't care. But, like, character-wise, like, I feel like it's good that you can grind all of them. There's a part of it, like, so the decks, like the cards, I can kind of see how that might make it feel like it's like pay to win. Cause, so you can't buy card packs with real money. You can only buy card packs with reputation. And so basically you have to grind to get your cards. And some cards, like I was talking about with Twin Blast, like a 3-shot kill, or I had a teammate, he was playing the ninja guy, I forget his name, but he at one point he had his ultimate was doing over 1800 damage. And like, people don't have that much health in this game.
I just about to say, like, that's like, basically, yeah, a 1-shot kill.
Before level 20, like, or before level 15, that kills me in one hit, so I'm glad you're on my side. And it's that thing where, like, don't know if you saw it, he like jumps up and then dashes at you. And people playing this character often do it cloaked, so he'll be invisible running up to you, and you just die in one hit. It is like crazy hard to deal with.
Yeah, some of those characters are in there. Because like that kept like jumping away and like jumping up on the mountains and stuff. So now they're
still
with each other. I was like, oh my gosh, get down here. Get back down here.
Run away.
Come back and fight you, coward.
Basically.
But, so, yeah, like, well, I guess maybe, did you have any sense of that? Like, because you just had the starter decks to choose from, right?
Yeah, because I didn't get to build anything, so I only played the one time, so.
Yeah. So, I don't know, I guess you can't really tell. But, you know, in my mind, it feels like there is potential where people will have these, like, super powerful card decks and just be able to annihilate you. And if you haven't played as much as the other person, then there's just, like, no way to win. And that's not really pay to win. Well, until you factor in that you can pay, for a reputation boosters. So potentially a person could like buy a bunch of reputation boosters, play way fewer games, but have like a much larger and potentially more powerful like collection of cards. So it's like maybe indirect pay to win. I don't know. I actually don't know if that is the case. But yeah, sometimes you run into these characters and like, holy crap, like he is doing so much damage. Like none of the strategies you usually use apply here. It's like you can't, you know, body block the tower gem and hope that the tower starts firing at them, because you take one body block and you're dead, and then there's no one defending the tower. Yeah, so there might be some issues with there. I don't know for sure yet. The other thing is, man, people like give up really easily.
I know, and like two of the games that we played, like the vote to surrender thing came up like within like not too long. I was like, guys, we're actually winning. What are you doing? What are you doing right now?
We're actually winning.
It is insane. Like I don't understand. I kind of understand, but I also feel like that's really weird. Like, you know, if we're gonna talk about like stereotypical gamers, like are sort of proud, right? We're like proud of being gamers, and you know what that entails. And then you're like 5 minutes into a game that potentially can last an hour, and you're like something. You have a setback. It's like, oh. Vote to surrender. And then if it fails, like, okay, fine, then I'm just leaving. And then they just leave. I don't know what they can do. Like, they
in the game job to call. They don't want to work for it.
Yeah. I mean, I can sort of understand, like, I don't want to play an hour and lose. It's like, well, you know, how do you avoid that? It's like, the way I see it, there are two ways to avoid it. Yes, you can quit. And the other way is to like play harder, like play better, try to make something happen.
You're good.
Yeah.
As everyone said.
It's not even necessarily about getting good, because like a lot of the times you play against these teams, and only very few times have I been matched with teams that are like well coordinated, and there's just no. They're not letting you have any chance of turning it around. A lot of times, like, there are lots of chances. Like, people, you'll see teams get cocky. It's like, okay, we just, you know, we took out all the front towers. So now we'll just, like, everyone is split up. They've all split up and we'll push all three lanes at the same time. Yeah, we're going to win. I'm like, well, you know, in this situation, very easily, you could, like, find the lane that only has one person and, like, have all five of your team be there. It's like, okay, that guy's dead. Now we'll go get these guys, and then go get these guys. But yeah, it's a huge. it's terrible. People give up so easily, and they're just like constantly voting to surrender. I think because, like, in the game, they have put in, if you leave the game, there's, like, penalties and stuff, because they really don't want people to leave. Because if you leave, you know, 4-on-5, especially in sort of, like, this traditional MOBA, like, is very hard to overcome. You just don't have enough people to cover that much space. And so the other team can really take advantage of that. Oh, you only have 4 people? They, well, then you're...
Time to rickshaw.
It's going to be really hard. But, yeah, so I think that's why most people just, like, they vote to surrender. Because if it's a defeat and it just ends, then I guess there's no penalty. But still, man, just, like, so early and every single time, it's like... And then, like, people get really angry and, like, pop on their mics and be like, we're not going to win. What are you guys doing? Just surrender. It's like, well, we're not going to win if, you know, if that's what you think. If you think we're not going to win.
With that attitude. Yeah,
we're like, definitely not going to win.
Like, maybe times have changed, Dr. Cole, and these, I get a participation trophy even if we don't win. People are just like, oh, well, I'm not winning. I don't feel like trying. I'm going home. Yeah.
Maybe that is the case. It is, yeah. It's very frustrating when you're playing.
Or if you have no friends to play with, it's, you're going to be stuck with the, yeah, crybabies all day. Like, oh, well, we're not winning. I don't want to play more than 5 minutes. Oh, no, worth it.
It's like I...
Basically. Like, yesterday, we were doing so good in the beginning as a team. I wasn't, like, following every single person, but, like, we were taking out their infrastructure, and ours was still all up. And, like, 10 minutes in, one guy, like, I guess he died twice, and then he was like, F this, and just, like, left.
What?
And then we spent, like, the next 40 minutes, like, basically fighting a losing battle because we had fewer people. And I was like, are you kidding me? We were doing so well. We were, like, the team was winning. You may have died twice without, you know, getting any kills or anything, but, oh, God.
No INTing, guys. No INTing. And don't say it's in the a-hole, because I've seen that, okay? I've seen that meme. Don't tell me where it's at in the a-hole.
Well, that does kind of make sense that it would be in the a-hole. Well, I liked playing as Gadget, so at least I found a character I can consistently play with until they release, like, all of them, because the other ones just weren't doing it for me. And I was like, I don't like melee characters because this guy, he's just, I don't know, man. And then, of course, that's the match where the guy decided to be hopping around like a damn bunny all over the place. And I was like, well, I have a melee character, so I can't hit you. I hate you. Hit everything you are. And F you and the horse you rode in on.
Man. Sometimes it was funny because I was like talking strategy and we got caught out. Like we were pushed too far ahead. And then, I died and RPG like died shortly after. And I was like, so in that case, like basically you should have left me to die. Because sometimes like situations like that happen.
I can't abandon my teammates. I can't do it. I can't. I'm a team player.
Yeah, I've let a lot of people die. And they get... Occasionally, they'll get mad at you. And
it's like, you left me to die.
Yeah,
it's
but like, it feels like... I don't... Like, what did you expect me to do? It was like, it was us two. You had half health. I had half health. And 5 guys pounced on us. And so I ran, and you were, like, fighting. And then he was like, what was that? I was like... What was I gonna do? Like,
it was
my guy,
five, dude. That's what that was.
Like, I don't have any stun attacks, you know, and like, was I supposed to kill all 5 of them before they took off the remaining half of your health? Like,
yes.
There's nothing I can do.
You just answered your own question.
So obviously, you run. Like,
you tried to clear your space. Carry me in those situations. Those impossible situations that we can't overcome. You put me in that platinum backpack of yours, and you carry me to victory. That's what you do, Dr. Cole.
What do you mean you don't have a god-level character already? What are you talking about? How are you not already superpowered? What's happening?
Go ahead. Just like, man.
Your entire team.
I get a lot of those, and I was like, but I'm pretty sure I did the right thing, because if both of us died, then it's like 3-on-5, so, and, you know, that's not good. 4-on-5, we're still okay. But 3 on 5, then it's like, oh no, we're gonna lose the tower. Probably.
People.
Mad dumb, yo. People are mad dumb.
Yep. So I'm looking at this Paragon Essentials Edition is what it's called. June 7th, and it says, includes a launch-exclusive Wasteland Twin Blast skin. Which means that, I guess they're calling that launch? So it's, oh, I guess, wow. It's trying to convince me to buy it as well. It says, oh, you got a Founders Pack. This is still an awesome deal because it comes with 6,000 Paragon coins, which is worth $60, which is what the pack, which is what the pack costs. 5 Hero Master Challenges for Twin Blast Sevrog, which was the, floating guy you played, the melee character, Iggy and Scorch, and 2 characters that haven't been announced yet, I guess. Oh, cool. Wait, this was April 25th. So, it's maybe Richter and, Grimex. 5 skins? And a rep boost?
I played it as him, but he's not strong enough. He's not strong.
Did you get, wait, does, can he steal health?
No. At least I don't think he can.
Huh.
Because his thing, like, most of his abilities, like, revolve around keeping people, like, away from him. Mm. Until he, like, can blast them. Because it's like, one of them is that pushback blast that, like, lets you at the lob. And then there's the other one that's, like, his deflector shield.
And, oh, wait, no, like, the melee guy. Can he steal health?
Oh, yes. Yes, he can. Oh,
okay. I was wondering what was happening. It was weird.
It was a psychic ability.
Mm.
But it's like extremely close range, though, so.
I was dueling him for quite a while. It's like, why isn't his health going down? Yeah, I like it. Well, so this brings me actually to a game that I haven't been playing, which is Overwatch. Which is crazy, because I was, like, super excited for Overwatch. But I think it's one of those cases where I played too much of the beta.
Yeah, that's what happens. Like, you play too much beta time, so it's like, okay, I need to take a quick little break from it.
Yeah, because, well, I think the other thing is, when I play a lot of the beta, like, Division, this happened to Division 2. I played through that demo beta, and then when I got the game, and it started, and it was basically the same part as the beta. Like, I didn't want to play it. I was like, I've done this before. And Overwatch, I mean, I guess the whole game is a game where you've done it before. But, like, the unlocks, like, there were unlocks in the beta that didn't carry over. Which, this seems sort of weird to me. It's like, why would that matter? They're all cosmetic. Like, just let us carry them over. But they didn't. So now I'm starting from scratch, and it just feels like I've done this before. And so I haven't played it at all. Paragon, don't know what's going to happen. Maybe June 7th will come, and then after that, you'll never hear from me about Paragon again.
Oh my.
Who knows? Who knows? I'm sort of excited to try Smite now, because it's actually out, and it has lots of stuff in it.
I played it.
But I could not... I tried once. I tried an arena match and was like, I don't remember how to play this at all. And these characters, like, they are not the free characters that were available last time I was playing. It's very confusing.
It is. That's why I was like looking through some of them before I like tried to play it again, because I was like, well, they all have so many different abilities. It's like you can't just like, oh, let me just pick up some random character and hope for the best, because then you're not going to know what any of their special attacks and passive buffs and stuff do. And it's like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm completely worthless now, because, yeah.
Very difficult. I lost that match badly.
Oh, my.
I was just mashing buttons. I was like, I don't know what any of this does.
Like, what is even happening right now?
Basically. Yeah, that's all I've been playing.
Yeah.
Sorry, RPG?
Actually, before RPG goes, there's one thing I wanted to add about Destiny is that when last week, I guess they're going to have Iron Banner, but they postponed it. And then, like, Trials, they didn't have that weekend. Yeah, like, but it was weird because, like, there's that thing where it's, like, infinite rockets and infinite super, but it's, like, they basically, like, one day delayed it. And then it was, like, up the next day. And I was like, so do they just have, like, a button or, like, a flip they switch at Bungie where it's, like, Iron Banner time, guys, and just, like, whoop, and it's, like, that's it? It's, like, I was like, is that what this, how they do it? Because it's, like, that kind of seemed how they did it. They're, like, no warning. No, nothing. It's like, oh, patch is up, hotfix is up. Guess what, guys? Iron Banner time. Button push. Flip switch is flipped. It's like, whoa, Bungie. Like, do you just have a room you go to and just, like, do that in? Because that's what it seemed like to me, just saying. That was pretty
cool. That is what happened. How does it make you feel?
I don't know.
Well, they do have a room, because they've shown it. It looks really pretty awesome. I don't know if there's a button.
Or some key they turn. Who knows?
I know.
Huh. I wonder if, like, Paragon, if you buy the disc, do you have to keep the disc in the drive to play? Because, like, that makes no sense. You know, a year down the line, like, the game is not even the same game anymore.
That is true.
So shiny.
Okay, Bijou, what are you even playing?
All of the games. All of them.
That's what I want to do. Aww.
So, yeah. I played Paragon as well. We already talked about that. I played Smite briefly because the release date was yesterday. So I was like, oh, let me go ahead and try to get back in there. But then, like I said earlier, it's like, if you don't have the characters unlocked already, it's like, oh, LOLs, you can't do anything with, like, except for, like, use the basic characters. So I started playing with, like, the one character I did have unlocked, but then I was like, yeah, I don't remember how to do anything. So I don't know. So I played the arena thing for a while, and I forgot that it's like, because the way Paragon works is like you unlock your abilities as you level up as opposed to having them all available from the start, and you can like upgrade them as you choose. But like with Smite, it's like they're all available, and you just, and it, the game just chooses to level up whichever ones they want as you level up, so you don't really have options like with Paragon. But I kind of like the premise behind it though, so I do want to like spend some time with it to try to like unlock some of the characters, and hopefully the characters that I want to unlock anyway, and then kind of play from there. But it seems like it might take a while, so
yeah.
I'm like, it's like, am I like prepared for what this entails? Like, am I really prepared for this? So,
see, if, like, that reminds me of Tekken's Destiny talk. Like, when he has put in so much time in Destiny, and like, really, what did he get out of it in that end? Like, 3 max level characters, everything in the game. But you have everything. You know, yeah, it reaches a point where it's like, you have everything. What do you do with it?
You bask in the glory of your everythingness, I guess. That's how that goes.
Because, like, with Smite, once you have, or I think you will never have everything in Smite. Like, they release characters faster than you can unlock them through play. So
it requires a lot of their currency to do so. And
yeah.
Like, LOL, you'll never have it. You'll never have it.
It's a trap, and you fell for it. Admiral Akbar's not here to save you, fool.
Basically. So,
but it does feel like, you know, like, different types of game that ask you for this long-term investment. I'm starting to prefer this kind of game where they keep adding stuff, and it's just like, oh yeah, it's free. we just ask hours and hours of your life.
No. We require that you get rid of all your friends.
I guess that's kind of okay.
It's like, we're your life now. We're your life now.
Because like before Destiny, it was like on consoles, it was like Call of Duty, right? People would just prestige over and over and over again. I guess the game itself was fun enough, but really you were like, when you prestige, you lose all your unlocks, right?
Yeah, you reset all your progress.
So you're just like unlocking the same things over and over again?
Pretty much.
It's a weird way to do it. And I guess, you know, like MOBA style is not new. Like World of Warcraft has been doing that, except they sell their expansions. So there's new stuff. And, I don't know. It is interesting what the games ask of us now.
They basically ask for your soul, and you must deliver, or else. I'm not sure how I feel about that, though.
Eat it! Eat it!
Like, I don't wanna. I don't wanna. But yeah. But other than that, I've been playing Bravely Second. Sorry, I keep forgetting, like, the whole default second thing that they have going on with these games. No, I just kind of call stupid thing number two or something, but no, that would have made too much sense. It would have made too much sense. So yeah, I was playing, and it's like, I got to the point in the story, like, where they had the twist last time, and I guess they decided to do the same exact thing with the pacing, so it is, like, at the same chapter that they had the twist in the first game, they had it in the second game, too. So then it's like, we got to this point, but then something bad happened, and the game's like, hey, you have now, it's like, you've unlocked New Game Plus. I was like, wait, did I beat it? Like, this is so random, because it's like, it was without, like, any type of fanfare or anything. It's just kind of like, you finished this boss fight, you unlocked New Game Plus. I was like, I don't. What is happening right now? What are you doing, Square Enix? What is happening? But it's like, but of course, because it's a Square Enix DS game, so they always have some like weird mechanic that they do with these games. So it's like, as it turns out, it's like, well, I don't know if I can avoid spoilers for whoever's listening, just in case. But it's like something happens, and then it's bad. So it the game basically requires you to start over, kind of. So it's like, but it doesn't like, it kind of tells you to, but at the same time, it doesn't tell you what you need to do after you do that. So there's a good chance that there will be people who may just keep starting the game over without realizing that when they do start it over, they're supposed to like activate there's like a mechanic in the game called Bravely Second, because, you know, it's called Bravely Second. So it's like when you activated, it like stops time or whatever, so you need to do that in the immediate battle that you get into when you start the new game thing in order to like continue progressing the story. So it's like, I feel like if I wasn't just like randomly trying to figure stuff out, it's like I probably would have just been like, oh, let me just keep starting New Game Plus until whatever it is they want me to do happens, I guess. And then
the ending was unsatisfactory.
I was just about to say,
it just restarts the game.
Because that's what it seemed like at first. Because like when it happened, I was like, did I just break the game? Like what just happened? Because it was just like so. Because like it was just like bad stuff happened, and it's like, yep, New Game Plus. I was like, so is that how this ends? Like we pretty much lost everything? Like, that's not a happy ending at all. So, it's weird. And I was like, effing Square Enix. Square Enix, guys. So yes, for people out there playing, if you do get to that point, make sure when you start your New Game Plus that you immediately use your Bravely Second thingy, which I think is the start button on when you're in battle. Just in case you don't know and you accidentally like keep trying to restart the game, like why isn't this working? Like do that. Because I feel like that might happen to some people, and then they're gonna be pissed and be like, why? Why'd you do this? And I'm like, oh no. So yeah, I guess I just kinda got lucky that was like my first thought to try it when I started the battle, so that kinda like worked out in my benefit, so I wasn't like, but I feel like there might be people who don't do that, and they're like, oh, clearly I'm supposed to play all the way up to the other 50 hour point that I did in the previous playthrough, because there must be something else I need to do, and then they're like, huh, got the same ending, guess I need to do this all over again for another 50 hours. And then it's like, it's going to be the end of the cycle. And that person is going to be caught in the time warp again.
That actually sounds kind of cool, actually. I said actually twice.
Oh, no. It's the gun. It's the gun.
You said the twist was in the same place as the first one?
It was.
So they said, like, surprise. Wait, are you surprised? And so they had to do a second surprise.
They apparently did.
But it was too subtle.
Because, maybe. Like, I mean, because, like, the game, it's weird, because, like, it semi-hints at it, because, I mean, the game is called Bravely Second, and you have to use your Bravely Second in order to progress it, but it's, like, I feel like if people, because it's, like, it's one of those abilities that you get, like, early in the game, but it's, like, it's not really particularly, like, necessary for you to, because, like, the way it works is, like, the same way in the first game is, like, it'll freeze time for however many, like, SP points you have saved up in their hourglass, and then the only benefit it really gives you is that you basically, whichever character you decide to let use it just gets, like, four free turns, more or less. But it's, like, I feel like the game isn't, like, hard enough where you'd ever, like, need to be, like, regularly using it, so it's probably just gonna just sit there until it's like, oh, let me use this ability that I have never, because, like, I've never used it the entire playthrough, so it's like the one time I had to, it's like, because it was required, so so it's weird. It's a weird thing for them to do, but it's like, I noticed they only do this for, like, 3DS or for any, like, Nintendo-based console games that they release. They never do stuff like this on other consoles that I've seen, or at least, like, not other handhelds, so it's weird.
Well, so, like, is there actually a fork in the road at this point? Like, if you don't do it, then it goes back and you play the whole game through again?
I'm assuming so.
Huh.
Because the game, like I said, it, like, when you start the initial new game, like, before any of all this nonsense happens, it starts you immediately in a battle, but at this point you don't have, like, any of your abilities, obviously, because it's, like, a new game. So.
Is it like that storytelling device where it's like, this is the epic battle, and then something happens, and it's like, previously, and you go back to the beginning of the story?
No, because it's
actually the battle,
like,
is actually the beginning.
The battle
of the story
is, like, actually part of it. Yeah, it's the beginning, because this is when Anya's gets kidnapped at the beginning. So the battle is, like, pretty much like an action prologue, so to speak. Mm. So it's one of the things, like, if you don't realize you should be doing it, you'll just keep, like, replaying the game over, or I guess, like, look up a guide or something when you realize that you're not beating the game, and it's like, huh, I should probably figure out what's going on here, because...
But once you've done it, like, it goes into new content, basically, that you haven't seen,
like,
before?
As a matter of fact, as soon as you activate the Bravely Second thing, he, like, because it does a different animation from the actual Bravely Second, because, like, if you use it in-game, like, prior to this, it'll actually, like, the whole screen will turn, like, grayish, because it's, like, time is frozen, and then you get to, like, select your attacks and turns, but when you do it during this particular battle, he actually, like, summons all his friends from the previous playthrough to, like, join him in that battle to replace the people that were in that prologue. So it like, changes the whole battle to, like, because, like, when you, the initial battle, like, the new game battle is, like, it's one of those hopeless boss fights, so you can't actually win it, because it, like, he literally kills everybody within, like, one or two turns, so it's, like, you can't actually win the fight, but this one, like, it becomes like a normal boss battle, so you have access to, you know, all your characters and all their setups and whatever, so it's like you can actually, you know, fight to win kind of thing, so it even, like, brings up a new title card too for the chapter once you activate it, so it's like, oh yeah, by the way, this is continuing, so, but yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah. That is happening. I like a lot of the new classes, there's some new classes that are kind of just like, nah, I'm not even sure why you bother this, because there's some that are, like, classes that are similar to the previous game's classes, but they're, like, severely like nerfed in terms, because like there's in the previous game there's a vampire class which functions as the blue mage kind of, and they're like super powerful, but it's like you have to fight like a really powerful boss in order to get, because you have to fight the vampire to get it, and he's like obviously has all the abilities that the class has. But it's like in this one the Catmancer takes the place of the vampire as the blue mage, but the way it works is you have to actually like spend items in order to use the abilities, and it's kind of like it's like really inconvenient, because if you run out of like that particular item to use that particular move, like in battle you can't use it anymore until you like go and buy more, or if you happen to dig up another like item that you can use that move with in battle. And it's like, you know, it's kind of, that makes it a lot less, you know, viable as a similar class. So it's like, I don't know, but some classes are like that, but then there's some that are a bit more useful than others. Cause like the wizard class you get like super early on, and cause it's like the black mage equivalent for this, game, and is that one I've had on one of my characters since the beginning of the game. And it's like the spellcraft ability is like super useful, cause you can do so many things since it can alter any type of magic in the game. Once you like start equipping the spellcraft ability to any of the other class, you can create like so many like unnecessary combinations. It's just like, because I had one of my other characters learn up to, he can like get to the spellcraft, so I can just equip it with a different class, and I had him using it as a summoner. So it's like I can create like these defensive walls where if anybody gets hit, like whoever has that wall equipped, if they get hit, it automatically summons like a summon. So it's like you could do things like that to like trigger like summon counterattack, and you can make it have it so it's like you could create like a mist that so that like the summoner, like the summon attacks at the end of every single turn. And it's like you could do like all kinds of like very unnecessary things with like some of these abilities, and it's like, huh. I feel like this probably wasn't what they were intending, but this is what I'm using this for, and it's happening. So you can do all, so it's like, you know, so you can just create all these kinds of things with like the red mage magics and like the other wizards magic stuff. So it's like, it's cool that you can kind of like alter the magic to do like different things and stuff. So it's kind of useful. And then there's like an exorcist class that you get relatively late in the game that its whole gimmick is like being able to undo anything that happened. So it's basically like it can, like the initial ability is that you can revert somebody's health to whatever it was, like you can like choose which turn that it was that it, or that you wanted to like change it back to, and it's powerful enough that it can even like revive the dead. So if something's like killed or someone's like killed, you can just like do undo health, and then you could just choose which turn that you wanted their health to go back to, and it'll just completely undo it. And as you level up that class, you start to get abilities that let you undo, like, the MP, the status effects, the brave points. And it's like an incredibly useful, like, support class. And then it's like, they eventually, like, once you get high enough, they have an ability that can outright kill all of the enemies with a 30% chance, and it works even on bosses. So it's like as long as you can probably like keep spamming that until eventually it works and kills everything. And it's like, oh, that wasn't difficult at all. So I'm just working my way through that. I'm assuming I'm relatively close to the end of the game at this point, but we shall see how that goes. And then June, I have a bunch of stuff coming out this month, so I need to get through the rest of my games anyway. That's pretty much all I've been playing.
Okay.
Huh. That reminds me. It is the beginning of June.
Oh, it is. So we have
it is.
So we can do a reef. Yeah, we can do a... Triple R.
For pirates. For pirates!
Rapid release responses.
Yes, I think that is the official title.
I think that's what we called it. Triple R is
I can't keep track anymore. I can't keep track.
Basically, I go through a list of the games coming out in June, and we give it an eh? Wait, an eh, or an eh, or an eh? At which case, you get a brief truncated description read off of releases.com, which generally isn't that useful. Basically, this is not for information purposes. Primarily, it is for our entertainment. And hopefully yours. So, today is June 1st, right?
Yep.
Yes.
We skip a lot of PC games and like Wii U games and Xbox One games and stuff, but we'll see what we do. Something, something.
Outside.
All right. So June 2nd, or I guess this came out May 31st. So, but on June 2nd comes out on other systems, Kick and Fennec for PS4, Wii U and Xbox One.
I have no idea what this is.
It's a drawer.
Kick and Fennec tells the story of a young boy named Kick who...
That, damn it. I'm assuming he has the ability to kick. Because if not, then this game has lied to me.
So what does Fennec do then?
He Fennecs, obviously. A silly question is that.
Excellent. June 3rd. This is next... Wait, is that next Tuesday? That's
like
Friday,
right? From now.
It's like weird. From now. Well, apparently, Dangerous Golf is coming out for PS4, PC, and Xbox One.
What's so dangerous about it?
Welcome to the world of Dangerous Golf, an arcade-style sports.
Well, I do like dangerous things, so I mean, maybe. Maybe the golf balls are like explosive or something. Maybe they eat babies or something. I don't know, man. I don't know.
I'm gonna break the rule a little bit here because I actually know this one. This is from the people who made Burnout, and they don't work at EA anymore. And the golf balls are explosive.
Yes, I love explosive stuff.
The next one is Hard Reset Redux, coming out PS4, PC, and Xbox One.
What did you say it was called?
Hard Reset Redux?
What is this game?
Remix something something.
Classic first-person shooters are few and far between these days.
Hard Reset. Huh. Mm. Classic. Pass.
Pass.
Doom was super good, but... Yeah, not everyone
not up to that level, more of a like style of like the old 3D Realms first-person shooter games.
Art of Balance, PS4.
What? Art of Balance?
Art of Balance is a physics-based puzzler about strategic block.
I didn't imagine this one. No, thank you.
I actually do like puzzle games though, so I might be interested in something like this. And it's physics puzzling, so it's
yeah,
like,
it kind of reminds me of Tumble, I think it was, the Move game, which is being made for VR, and it's just like adults stacking blocks in virtual reality. Then we got Anima, Gates of Memories for PS4, PC, and Xbox One. Anima, Gate of Memories, is a third-person action RPG that tells...
Is that on Mars?
No, you're thinking of Technomancer.
Because I got excited. I was like, is this that one? But it's not that one. But it's an RPG. Probably not. Whatever.
What is it called now? So I can make sure to check.
Or Animus.
Or Anima.
Anima, whatever.
What day is this?
June 3rd.
So that's this Friday. Is it like digital only, or is it getting like a physical release?
I don't know. Actually, it's weird that these are June 3rd. This seems like a lot of games for June 3rd. But it says confirmed.
Like at all.
It may be digital only. Yeah, I actually don't know.
Did you give a description of this game?
I did.
Oh, yeah,
it's a
right,
third person
action RPG. Don't have a lot
of
those these days. Pick go either way.
I should replace the ellipses with something. then we move on to June 7th. So this is the actual Tuesday, right?
Yep.
Yes,
that's yep. Mirror's Edge Day. Oh, yeah. Can't wait.
Indeed, Mirror's Edge Catalyst. PS4, PC, and Xbox One. I think, I don't know if I'm going to get it, actually.
I'll be streaming it, so you know, if you want to check it out and be like, is it worth it, just stop by my channel, because I'll be streaming it.
I can't, because you know how I feel about heights. I can't do Mirror's Edge. Sorry. Can't do it.
VR is going to be rough with you, for you.
This is why I do not want VR. I can't, guys. I'm sorry. I can't.
Also June 7th, SteamWorld Heist on PS4 and PS Vita.
I think I've heard this game, but I think it was a different game that had the title Heist in it.
The Heist?
I don't think it was The Heist.
A Heist?
Some sort of game with Heist in the title, but it wasn't SteamWorld Heist.
Yeah, I forget what that one was.
So I have it downloaded on my Vita, I think. Whatever.
RPG?
I don't know what it is. I don't.
SteamWorld Heist is coming, and nothing can prepare gamers for.
I don't want that on the principle of that sounding like that.
Let's see. Minecraft Story Mode, Episode 6. Wow, there's 6. Portal to Mystery, it's called. Coming out on everything. PS4, 3, PC, Xbox One, Xbox 360, and Mac.
I haven't played the first 5 episodes, and I don't have the season pass, so no thanks.
Yep. But Tekken, you love it.
I've never played that game, so yeah, no thanks.
MXGP2, the official motocross video game for PS4 and Xbox One.
I won't get it on the $5 flash, though, however many years from now.
No.
Yes. That sounds good. Atelier Sophia, the alchemist of the mysterious book, PS4 and PS Vita.
This sounds like RPG's game.
No, I've played enough of those.
I think he likes these, yeah.
I'm kind of not doing it anymore. I'm over it.
Soul Axiom for PS4.
I think... Wait, well, no, now I'm thinking of Axiom Verge. I'm not sure if this is, like, a good Axiom game or not. It could not be. Who knows?
Soul Axiom is a first-person adventure game from the team at WAA.
Oh, I remember this game. It was, like, you're in this thingy. Yeah, this one. Yeah, I don't remember, but I remember the trailer. Wow. It was all, like, it's an adventure game, but it's in first-person, and they're doing stuff, and it's like, oh, this looks interesting. So, yeah.
Basically as informative as what I just read.
That's what I'm saying. Pretty much.
It's in, like, sci-fi future-y setting and stuff. Yeah. It's a good time.
All right. Also, we got Odin Sphere. Lethrasir?
I'll wait to see if there's no slowdown in this one, and then if there isn't, I will get it.
Well, it's coming on PS4, PS3, and Vita. Interesting.
Could it cross by or something?
I don't know if it does. I have to look that up. Guilty Gear Xrd? I have no idea how to read that word.
Xrd.
And Revelator for PS3 and PS4.
I never played the Guilty Gear game I bought that was like came out a long time ago on PS4. I loaded it up once and I didn't even play it, so
Probably not, then.
I'll make it eventually if it's on zone, just saying.
Then we got June 8th, Phoenix Furia for PS4 and Xbox One.
I have no idea what this game is.
From Green Lava Studios, Phoenix Furia is an inspired, frenetical...
Need more information.
Inspired and frenetical is not enough?
Yeah, tropical. You could
yes.
Say...
Yes, it is.
That, no, it's not, because it's like, I don't know what's going to come next. Because, like, you could say something in the like, sports game, and it's like, sports game. Get away from me. Or puzzle game. It's like, that's almost even worse. Or tower defense game. It's like, get out of here. Or MOBA.
Or like a combination of all three or something. A puzzle sports tower defense game.
That would be terrible. Why would you do that to yourself?
That's pretty much what a Zuma 11 is.
People love that game.
They do. They do.
Then we got June 10th, the Friday. Sherlock Holmes, The Devil's Daughter for PS4, PC, and Xbox One.
Is that one still similar to the Crimes and Punishment one?
Probably. I'll look forward to it when it's also for free on PlayStation Plus. So.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I was like, I think I just wait until it's free, because then I could just play that again and be like, ha ha, the joke's on you, because I got it for free.
And also on that Friday, Kirby Planet Robobot for 3DS.
Do not want at all. I said, as I have pre-ordered this game like months ago.
I kind of want the amiibos. You know, the good thing about Disney Infinity being discontinued is now I only have one series of figures to keep track of.
Disney's loss is Nintendo's gain.
June 17th. This is weird. Well, so that's the 10th is the Friday. So June 17th is the Friday after E3.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
You got Valentino Rossi, the game for PS4, PC, and Xbox One.
Is that the racing game?
Race on famous MotoGP tracks, such as the Monza Rally. Playing A.
If this is the motorcycle one, pass, but there's some like weird named game that's like not motorcycles and it's cars, but I don't know how pretty it looks on PS4 yet, so.
And also Dino Dino's Kickoff Revival for PS4 is coming out that day.
I imagine it says dinosaurs in it.
The next installment in the classic kickoff football simulation.
Oh, well, you said football.
That's unexpected.
Also, it appears to be a soccer ball in the States, so it's like football.
Football. I was saying it's not American football. Even stranger.
Football, soccer, what's the difference? I don't play sports games unless they're arcadey and fun, like NBA Jam or Super Mega Baseball.
This one has dinosaurs, and the football is shaped like an egg.
But is it arcadey, Haptical? Is it arcadey? I just know it's Dino Dino.
There's dinosaurs in it.
We'll see if it listens to the Sega Strikers or Mario Strikers, Sega, whatever that game was on the GameCube. Those were like, yeah, one of those. Maybe.
Mario Strikers was funsies, man. It was funsies.
On to June 21st. A proper Tuesday release day, starting with Pac-Man 256.
I am on this game, PS4. I saw the trailer Xbox on the store, because like, it was like coming soon. I was like, what's this game? And I looked at the trailer, I was like, this is like not as good as Pac-Man DX, but like up there with like weird Pac-Man-ness, and I need this in my life. Even if it is like a former mobile game, I don't care. My body is ready.
Wow. Cool. Oh, there's a trailer up on the store, really?
Yeah.
Wow. And multiplayer?
It's got like four player, some weird
stuff. Multiplayer. Cool.
What? Moving on. Mighty Number 9. PS4, PS3, PC, Wii U, Xbox One.
Yeah, I might get it. We'll see.
Just no. No.
Maybe.
Because I've seen the trailers and I'm like, nah. Nah, bruh.
Oh, that was so weird that day. And everybody's like, oh, the trailer's terrible. It's like, come on, guys. Really.
Well, the trailer wasn't terrible. The gameplay just doesn't look all that.
It's exciting. Mega Man.
It's weird because it doesn't really look very Mega Man-y. It's like you run into... Well, I mean, it kind of does, but then like the part when you run into stuff after you shoot it doesn't look... Because that's not something Mega Man does, but like whatever. I was expecting something else in my brain, and then I saw it, and I was like, this is not 100% Mega Man, but whatever. Close enough.
Then we got Deadlight Director's Cut. PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
Isn't that scary game?
In a world destroyed by a zombie outbreak.
It's like a trailer.
That one.
All hope of a cure.
Deadlight. That first-person game.
Dun, dun, dun. But also no.
That's why I passed the first time around.
I like the first one.
No, you don't.
I think I might get this one.
No, you won't.
Then Umbrella Corps for PS4 and PC.
This game is an abomination to the original franchise and needs a candle to play, that's all I'm going to say. I saw the Resident Evil 2 trailer they put out, and I was like, it made me want to smack somebody, because I was like, that's not what the interior of the Raccoon City Police Department looks like at any point in the outbreak, but whatever.
You don't know.
They are remaking Resident Evil 2, aren't they, right?
Yeah, they are.
Anyway... finally, Grand Kingdom for PS4 and Vita.
Yeah! Yeah.
Passing June 21st.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll see. Then, June 24th, the Friday, so Nintendo Games, Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
Yeah!
Sharp FE on the Wii U, and also Mario and Sonic at the Rio 2016 Olympic Games for the Wii U.
Ew.
Seasons I don't have a Wii U, ..
Yeah, we don't need reactions for those. Those are just big ones that I feel like if we skipped over.
No, because I would totally play Tokyo Mirage Sessions if I had a Wii U. I was tempted to figure out a way to rent a Wii U so I can play it and then be like, well, I'm done with this, so now I don't need this Wii U anymore. But I can't find anywhere to rent a Wii U for it, so I'm still going to buy it. I just won't have a Wii U to play it.
Is that a digital novel game or is it something else?
That's no, it's the like Persona Fire
except
Emblem.
With Fire Emblem.
Mashup. Persona.
Oh, okay, it's the mashup game.
Looks good.
If only I had a Wii U.
See, it's weird. It's like before they were calling it like whatever, cross whatever, and you knew those two were in the like in the game. Code. But now it's like something weird, and I have no idea, not knowing that beforehand that's that game.
Yeah, I mean, that was never the title. It was just like
that was just the, like the
yeah. Code name. They said yeah. It. This is the thing, and we're making something.
Like these two things will be crossed with each other, and yeah. You will know more when we release it.
She just kept it classy, like Namco Cross Capcom, and then like Fire Emblem Cross Persona or something.
It's not that style.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Because it's okay. That's right. That's right.
It's much it's more mashed together like, than that. Yeah.
Idle stuff in it too. So like,
because it really is more Persona than it is Fire Emblem. So that's probably why they just hashtagged Fire Emblem on there. It's like, by the way, there's also Fire Emblem in this.
Maybe they should have called it, like, Fiery Idol Nights in your Persona or something.
I would not like, be... I mean, that is very Japanese the title
like, to the title.
They're not Square Enix, so they don't do randomness like that.
Then we move on to the final week.
Finish on Discovery.
June 28th.
Oh, God, yes.
It starts off with 7 Days to Die, PS4 and Xbox One.
I've seen the trailer for this game, but it looks weird because there's no gameplay, and I'm just like, what's going on here? Not interested.
It's
some sort of like survival situation where it's like, oh, you're out here in the wild, have fun.
Don't die, basically.
Yeah.
That's like every game.
Or it seems like, one of those things where it's like, you know, daytime is safe, but then nighttime stuff comes out for you. Like, it's like Minecraft, but not fun and happy creeper style. It's deadly zombie monster stuff at night that's all like, I'm gonna eat your face and stuff. Mm.
Oh, that sounds pleasant.
Delicious. the Technomancer. PC, PS4, and Xbox One.
That's coming out this soon?
About June 28th, yep.
Before. Oh, crap.
Wait, is this the game we just talked about? Is it that I thought it was the Lord of
the
game?
The one you thought was the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one.
I don't know if that's
RPG.
Like,
I mean, it looks but if it's not $60, I will totally try it. $60, I will wait for a sale.
They announced it last year, so.
It looks too clunky, man. Because, I mean,
there's a lot of jank up in that. In the last trailer. I was like, this looks like cool premise, but there's a lot of jank going on here.
Yeah, it's like, if they can't fix it, I'll have to wait until it's, like, free or, like, $10. Because, like, I can't, man. I just can't.
This is what we are now.
Especially not on the 28th.
So this looks like a very E-tier Mass Effect game if it was stuck on Mars the whole time. I mean, there's dialogue trees and, like, decisions and choices and consequences and different playstyles and different classes, but, needs more time from when I looked at it. But now you're like, oh, it's coming out this month, Tekken, and I'm like, I still think it needs more time, so...
I actually thought it was coming out a lot later.
I did, too. That sounds like the Mars game, but then you're like, oh, Mars game is coming out this month, but it's like, oh, I think they might need more time.
Are you sure?
Wanna delay it just a little bit, and by a little bit, I mean till next year.
Unless we finally get games in the summer now. Yay! Every month there's something to play.
That's not a good thing.
It's not just overload the fall, and then drought the rest of the 9 months.
Prison Architect, PS4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One.
I've seen games of this game. Yeah. No, thank you.
I want that one.
I would love to build a prison.
Then we got Lego Star Wars, The Force Awakens, on everything. 3DS, PC, PS3, PS4, Vita, Wii U, Xbox 360, and Xbox One.
I'm annoyed that there's, like, stuff in it that's, like, it's adding story to, like, this, the episode 7 stuff, but it's, like, not an actual licensed game of, like, canon. Oh, it's a sweet engine that's not Lego people. Yeah. No, thank you. I got stuck in Lego Marvel, so I'm kind of like, I can't ever play a Lego game now. I played the 3DS Clone Wars game, but after I got stuck in Lego Marvel, I'm like, man, this is like a game for kids and I'm getting stuck. This is embarrassing. This is stupid doors. Ugh, whatever.
His greatest weakness.
Next up, Star Ocean, Integrity and Faithlessness.
Oh, I thought this was for
PS3
and PS4. Wow, there was a lot of stuff in June. Holy crap.
I know.
I'm getting this game. So it looks delicious. I want to look at the screen every time I see gameplay. I'm like, it can't be this seamless. It can't look this good. But I played Uncharted 4, and yeah, that game changed my life. So I'm a believer now. Again,
miracles
in PS4. I keep getting bitter and jaded. I mean, like, it's not going to keep being this awesome, and it just keeps being that awesome. I'm like 1886. Early 1886 looks so amazing. It was so, that volumetric fog and, oh, those graphics. They can't get better, and I played Uncharted 4, and it was like, I don't know. No. I don't know how you could top this. And it's like Star Ocean, it's like, wow, I thought I'd never seen another Japanese console RPG look better than Final Fantasy 13, but then I saw this game, and then 15's not out yet, so I can enjoy it before it gets pooped all over by that. Yes.
Well, I'm assuming that, I mean, it probably won't, I'm assuming there's going to be, like, some concessions for the two versions of the game, because, I mean, I don't.
Stop saying that, RPG.
Well, I mean, I don't know if the PS3 can handle.
You gotta believe!
I can't. I can't. I'm sorry. I can't believe. I mean, I'm getting the PS4 version anyway, so, I mean, sucks for whoever has only a PS3, but, I mean, I'm just saying,
like. See when Persona 5 comes out and it shatters your imagination of, like, if they did it twice in a year, I will never doubt again.
Still getting Persona 5 on the PS4 too, so that doesn't matter either. I don't. that still doesn't change anything. So,
no concessions were made. You'll see.
Once again, it won't matter because I will have
the better one anyway.
The good version anyway. So it's like, it won't matter. I won't get Destiny'd like other people did.
Then Resident Evil 5, PS4, Xbox One.
Still waiting for Resident Evil 4. I like how they did the reverse order from worst to best, but hey.
Is 6 out already?
Then they can get the trilogy. Yeah, 6 came out first.
Oh.
And then 5, and then 4. Because they're like, we're going to make you wait for the best one, because money, dear boy, money. You'll break.
Money.
The other two will go on sale before then, and you'll have bought all 3 of them, and we'll release the bundle the day the 4th comes out, or the number Resident Evil 4 comes out with all 3 of them for cheaper, and you'll be like, why did I buy them? And we'd be like, because money, dear boy. How much more did you pay us? How much more? Well, I guess you paid us 0 more than MSRP, but still. It's on sale now. It's on sale now. And we got your more than sale dollars, and that's all that matters.
Your more than sale dollars.
Yes. More than the price that it's on sale for now in the bundle.
Then JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Eyes of Heaven, PS3 and PS4.
Oh, I didn't even know there's a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure game coming out. Sign me up. I haven't played the PS3 one, but I enjoy the art style, so. And I feel like I have to support it. Because back in the day, there's, like, I read, like, so many articles about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure so awesome on the Dreamcast, and I never got to play it. And then it's like, yeah, I finally got to buy one, but I haven't played it, so.
Good job.
Until then, I'll just keep on supporting them, because maybe they are magically awesome and I just haven't played them.
Then Zero Escape? Zero Time Dilemma? For Vita and 3DS?
Yes! Oh my.
Also, yes. This is one of my 4 super anticipation games for this year. Super anticipation. I'm like, all about it, man. I'm all about it. I was all worried at first because they were like, sorry guys, the series is on infinite hiatus. And I was like, no, just kill me now. There's no reason to live. And then they were like, just kidding. The third one's going to come next year. We're just kidding, guys. So then I was able to, I had a reason to live again. So all worked out. All worked out, guys.
There can't be fear.
Basically.
God Eater Resurrection for PS4 and Vita.
I'm going to get the one that's bundled with God Eater 2, so I will technically be getting it, but not when it's getting released.
I haven't played any of these.
I haven't either, because I refuse to play Monster Hunter Clones. I mean, I played that Soul Sacrifice, but it's like, I refuse to play Monster Hunter Clones until there is another actual entry that's not on a Nintendo console, on the console. And I mean, by that, I mean a PlayStation console.
God Eater's on PS4. What are you talking about?
It's a Monster Hunter clone RPG. I will not play a pretender.
It's not the same thing, though. It's more narrative focused than Monster Hunter.
It's actually a story, then. I should probably check it out. Then.
Able to get an anime for it, because it has a story. Monster Hunter does not.
Then there's June. Games scheduled for June, but don't have an exact date. First one is Lumo. For Vita and Xbox One.
Don't know what that is.
Vita and Xbox One, that's so...
Wizard needs isometric adventure badly.
No.
This is the second time they've used that in one of their descriptions. That's funny. Then there's a game called Assemblance for PS4 and PC.
I don't know what that is either.
Some sort of players will wake up in an experimental machine with the ability.
God.
It's like you kind of had it with the premise, and then you ran out of words.
I just was about to say, I was like, it's like I'm intrigued, but at the same time,
like that kind of sounds like Portal. But then I have no idea what else there is to it besides.
Exactly, because you don't know what you just woke up with. You might have the ability to kick a soccer ball around for all we know, and this is actually a sports game. And it's like, LOL, you fell for it, because...
And it's the machine that has the ability to kick a soccer ball.
See? This is the nonsense I speak of.
And then Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 for PS4.
Never again until there's another Budokai entry, because that's... That was when the Dragon Ball Z fighting games were at their peak and the best, because, you know, 2D and 3D models, and they look so good, you know, whatever.
Yeah, the only Dragon Ball Z game I'm looking forward to is Fusion, is that the one? I think that's the name of it.
The 3DS one?
Yeah, because it looks like it's going to be, like, the type of Dragon Ball Z game I've been waiting for them to actually do instead of just doing fighting games. So I'm like, it's about time. It's about time.
Those are the releases for June 2016. You should probably go Google those, because, we did not give you any information at all. But we got the titles, and that's all you need for Google. And that was another installment of Triple R, Rapid Release Response.
Other things.
Brought to you by Aimless Babble Z.
Oh, I can't wait until the end of June. Oh my gosh, I just can't wait.
Man, there's a lot of games. I was actually thinking this week, like, Paragon is coming out in the summer, right? And that makes a lot of sense. Free-to-play games not even free-to-play games, just like multiplayer-heavy games should all come out during the summer.
So the kids can play them.
Yeah,
Of Carnage.
F the kids.
But like that helps your game also, because then queue times are really short, matchmaking's really short, because there's like a ton of kids playing your game all summer.
And if they're terrible, time to go pub stomping. Yes.
And then you can yell at a bunch of kids and be like, get good, kids! And then they're like, mommy, this guy's yelling at me to get good.
Sorry. Like, The Division and Destiny should have come out during the summer. Destiny was close.
I mean, Destiny was relatively close, because it's like the very beginning of September 9th, so.
Which, man, that must have messed up people's semesters.
I always think about that. It's like games that don't come out.
So long, school.
Like heavily multiplayer investments. Like someone's going to drop out of college because of this game.
Because I used to help people move in at my school, and like the first year, basically there was no TVs and consoles. It was just like a few people had TVs and consoles. And the last year was like every single person we moved in had a flat screen with a console of some sort. And like, wow, this is where we live now.
This is your consoles life
everywhere.
Now.
It used to be just my PS2 and the guy down the hall had a Dreamcast and that was it. Everyone else had a computer. You know, obviously for school, but it runs Age of Empires 1 or 2.
Oh dear.
Yeah. It was, man. So yeah, when Destiny came out and all the college kids with their PS4s, probably, except around here, maybe they had Xbox Ones, cause I live in weird Xbox country. It must have messed up people's semesters.
According to that EA internal numbers, 2-1, so you know.
Yeah, the one all live here.
All of them.
Oh, that's great.
There's an actual, like Microsoft Windows Xbox sort of stand inside of one of the malls here. And they work for Microsoft. You know, it's not like GameStop, where GameStop kids are selling Xboxes. This is like Microsoft selling Xboxes directly to people.
We report directly to our corporate overlords.
They're far more excited than anybody
else in the world.
Regular person would be. So I guess we can do some news real quick. No Man's Sky. I think we talked about it last week.
No, we didn't talk about it because it happened right after we did the podcast. Okay. Supposedly.
Yeah. Turns out it's real. Delayed 7 weeks into August. The crazy part of this story is that they have been getting a ton of death threats. Not just the people who make the game, but the people who wrote about the supposed delay rumor.
That's funny.
They got a whole bunch of death threats.
Who does that?
Yeah, it's just insane.
It's like, yeah, it's totally going to like motivate me to do my best to make the game or do a better job of reporting the news, whatever.
I say, like, if you're making a game that everyone wants, and then you get a death threat, and then it comes true, and you die, then the rest of your team should just destroy the game.
Ah.
Full of filthish.
F y'all.
It's like,
nobody
gets
it canceled.
Nobody's going to play it ever again. Or yep. Ever.
That's how it should be.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense that people find it necessary to,
nuclear
like...
option. I win, you lose.
This is the other serious thing we could have talked about in the middle segment.
Game is being insane.
It is ridiculous. The people have posted like the full emails that they got, and they're just like very descriptive. the ones to the journalist who wrote about the supposed like rumor that No Man's Sky was getting delayed is just like, that is crazy. You're threatening like. That is killing the messenger.
It is.
Quite literally in that case. So it's like, it's ridiculous though. It's like, why would you threaten someone for like delaying? First of all, I don't think the game really had like, I mean, it was already kind of like a fluid release date to begin with. And it's like, you've seen like in their updates how like, ambitious they were trying to be with the game. So it's like, I wasn't like surprised that it got delayed, but it's like at the same time, it's like, don't you want them, wouldn't you prefer they like, you know, actually can produce a good game as opposed to like, you know what, let's just rush it out, let people hate the game, and then, you know, yeah, that's a great plan. It's a great plan, guys.
I read this interesting article. It was, you know that movie Mercy by Stephen King?
No.
Yes.
Very famous. It's like, a,
one where the guy gets trapped in the thing, right? And then he's like,
it's called Misery.
Misery, yeah. Is what it is, yeah.
The, like an author, he is in a car crash or something, and a lady finds him, and he's an author, and he writes this book that she really loves. And in the latest book, he killed the character, and so she like nursed him back to health, but refused to take him to the hospital, and then forced him to write another book that brought the character back to life.
And she tortures him more or less until...
Yeah, and it's basically like, he was talking about, I was like, so yeah, that's basically fandom today. Like, imagine if that character had the internet. Like, because that's basically what it is. And the article is very interesting, talking about, like, oh, this should have been sort of a golden age of, you know, fans connecting with the creators of the stuff that they really love. But it is not like that at all, because somehow the, this is something like the fandom has merged with the adage that customers always right. And so it's like, you're not just a fan, you're a customer. And so creators, like these sort of fansumers, want...
Ew, that's a terrible word.
Exactly what...
Fansumer. Fanatical consumers.
Well, it's kind of true.
I mean, the other way it doesn't, because they would just be, what, cans? Just cans?
Yep.
Cans of evil. Stoneless cans of evil.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like the Mass Effect ending is the thing that, that was talks about. Just like, take back Mass Effect, because they feel like they're not just fans, they're the customers, and customers are always right, so obviously you have to make the game exactly the way I want it. It's crazy.
I'm mad crazy, yo.
Oh, and it also, the article was funny, funny and sort of like sad, because it talks about the Captain America thing where he's Hydra, or he's always been Hydra apparently.
Oh yeah, that.
And like some like retired Marine like wrote to the people who are in charge of like managing Captain America brand or whatever, and was just like, I'm going to kill you all because I modeled my life after Steve Rogers, and now I find out that he's full, so I guess it's okay to
get that full,
so I guess I'm going to go around and kill you all.
So it's their fault that he decided to idolize a fictional character, and now he wants to become a super-powered Nazi because of it? Like, I don't understand how the logic in this. Like, how is this their fault? Like, I'm sorry, but you're a grown man. Take
fans don't know what they... Yeah.
I know.
It's like, fans don't know what they want. they know it when they see it, but if you ask them what they want, they want the thing... Or the weird thing that he discovered when he was writing this article was apparently a lot of fans just want, like, Captain America to be happy and get everything that he wants. And they write, like, fan fiction where these dramatic characters are just, like, in very mundane situations, like sitting in a coffee shop. And everything is fine.
It's like, oh, that's not... exciting at all. It's like he also adopted a puppy. The end. It's like, okay, alright. Alrighty then.
Which, oh man, that actually reminds me. Sonic Boom is on Hulu, and I was like bored. I was like, whatever, I'll take a look. And the second episode was about Dr. Eggman moving in with Sonic and Tails, because a storm destroyed his fortress.
It's a very wacky series. Like, doesn't know what it is. It's very wacky.
I was like, wow, that reminds me of this. Like, maybe they listened to focus groups. It's like, can't they just get along and, you know, have like hijink type adventures? It's like, okay.
Although it's gotten, I mean, they've kind of been like that in the recent years anyway. So it's like, they're not really like, he's trying to like, he's like this big, bad, evil guy, and Nora's Corner just like, haha, you're my wacky rival guy. You're just so wacky. Oh,
the first one was, he wanted to, like, Sonic wanted to keep Tails out of danger, so fired him as his sidekick, and then had open tryouts, and like, Eggman went to tryouts, and was like, you can't be my sidekick, you're my nemesis.
These guys. Yes, it's a pretty wacky show for anyone who's not familiar with it. It is very much in the way of how a lot of cartoons have gotten nowadays. They're like, oh, you used to have like a semi-serious thing going on. Now it's all just wacky hijinks. And yeah, your nemesis
right,
is kind
here of... Here it is. True. We're going into Aimless Land. So you guys saw Apocalypse, right?
Yep.
I did.
the reviews, which you probably didn't read, but the reviews are like, and I've seen this a lot recently in a lot of movies of this type, like Captain America, Batman vs. Superman, Apocalypse, what was the other one? Like the Warcraft movie. The criticism is they're so serious. Like they don't, is that fair, you think?
For what, them to be serious?
Yeah. For to criticize them for being too serious.
No.
I don't think that's a fair criticism, no. I mean, you can find other things to be complain about, but it's like, that's kind of dumb if they're, it's like, hey, how dare you be serious when this guy is trying to end all life on the planet? Where's my wacky? Where's my wacky, guys?
I guess like critics see these things as very differently than we do. Like, they're just like, this is a comic book. That guy controls metal with his mind. That's weird and wacky. Why is this movie so serious? Everything about it is ridiculous. So why are they being so serious?
They should all just laugh at their powers and be like, hey, I could shoot beams out of my eyes. Oh.
It's just like,
isn't that great?
Completely forgetting the racist racism undertones and like all of the other stuff. Like Magneto's like a Holocaust survivor. It's like that. There's a lot of serious elements going on. There's not nothing. Like half of this stuff is not wacky at all. It's like there's a lot going on. As a matter of fact, they even visited.
I only
the
had to
like
there, take out those memories of that one lady because you know it was too tragic. I didn't want to have to live with it. Then I found out she moved on and had a kid, and I was like, oh man, what could have been us. And I hated myself for it.
Like, guys, this is like a thing. They're people too. It's like, it's kind of like, that's how this goes. I don't know. Critics are weird.
Guy, and they fused adamantium to his skeleton, and he had this mutant healing factor, and you know, it's a thing. And then, you know, he got free, and he had a kid to kill a bunch of dudes to get out, but it's fine. It's totally, we can just laugh about it, because whatever, man.
Critics just have this idea where it's like, oh, it's based off of comics and cartoons and stuff. So it should be, like, not serious, because none of that stuff is serious. It's supposed to be fun and all that stuff. And I think, like, even filmmakers were like that in the beginning. You know, there was always cracks about, oh, we're going to wear spandex or something. Or it's like, oh, you guys go outside in these things? And, I guess, but... I don't think it has to have things like that. It doesn't, you know, not everything about the comics was goofy. You know, I think that's the problem with like the Transformers movies, right?
Well, no, there's a lot of
among
other things.
That's probably like the least of their problems.
Among other things.
I don't know, people, I mean, like, I had some issues with the movie itself, but it's like, I didn't think it was like a terrible movie. Like, all the critics were like, oh my god, this is the worst X-Men movie ever. Everything sucked. I hate everything. It's like, okay, all right. You go do something else with your life, please. But yeah.
I saw a chart that was very sad. On it, it showed that The Last Stand is the highest grossing X-Men movie. But logically, it makes sense.
People really liked
X-Men United, so when the third one came out, they're like, "Yes!" And so many people went to see it. It's like, "Oh!" And that's why First Class, very good, is like the lowest grossing one because it came out.
I don't know. It's like Wolverine happened, and then Last Stand happened. It's like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, and like X-Men Origins Wolverine grossed more than First Class, and The Wolverine, which is a much better movie than that one, but because it came after, it's like, I don't trust these guys. I'm not gonna watch that one.
I'm doing this again, guys. I learned my lesson.
Yeah, see, that was,
so like, you see,
that was like back during like the double whammy of like X-Men 3 and Spider-Man 3 for me, and I didn't watch superhero movies for like until like Avengers was on Netflix, and people wouldn't stop gushing about it, and I was like, whatever, I'll check it out, and it was like the best thing ever, and I was like, superhero movies are back, I need to watch them now. No, I'm behind. I still haven't seen Iron Man, any of them, and then I keep hearing about how amazing they are, and I'll probably never see it, because I just want to get a box set. That's all I want to see. I want to get the box set. All the movies in it, but no, they just keep making them. It's like, oh, I'll never see the amazing Iron Man that brought it back and saved the day, but whatever.
You will not.
I'll just hear stories about how you did this.
Wait, Tropical, did you get to see it yet? Or?
Yep. Well, I did not get to pay attention to it, but I was there while it played.
Ah. Well, then.
Man, Apocalypse. So I was willing to be like, okay, you know, maybe it'll look good in the movie. But Apocalypse did not look good in the movie.
He looked weird. I don't know if it was
very weird.
The actor was playing, or just like his costume design. It was just like
costume design.
It just like
I think it's the costume design.
Just all he just looked. I don't know.
Very
he just
humanoid. Looked
Apocalypse. Yeah, like, just like
two things about Apocalypse. You know, he's like a big looking guy, and also it's the jaw. It's that thing that they draw around the jaw in the comics. Like that is the look of Apocalypse.
Middle jaw thing.
Yeah, and it just like was totally. Not there. It just looked wrong.
His armor just looked weird too. I don't know. It just like, yeah, he just looked weird.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel like some of the like mutants didn't really get to like display like they should have.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like after seeing so many MCU movies, it's like, I wish they could have like did that with X-Men movies of like developing the characters and like their own films. And then having them in the film, like, team up to take on a threat, as opposed to just, like, okay, here's an X-Men movie where, like, you're going to see X-Men. We're not really going to develop any of them, or they're not going to have their time to shine. But they're there. Jubilee's there, taking a couple scenes, whatever. Yeah.
Like,
Cyclops is there. Like, he finally gets his visor at the very end, whatever.
It's like it seemed like it was like very rushed, despite the fact the movie was, like, 2 hours and some change long. It's and like, it's like,
it was still a long movie, too.
But it seems like everything was so rushed. It's like I don't understand what's going on, because like they made this big deal, like with Jubilee, for example, they made this big deal about her casting and everything, and then she was like in two scenes, didn't even use her powers like at all. So I was like, so what was the point of like making such a big deal about this?
Because they're in the 80s, they're going to the 90s, the golden era of the X-Men. It'll be great, even if Bryan Singer's not involved, it's terrible, it'll still be great, it's whatever.
I don't know, because I already kind of figured they're gonna try the whole Dark Phoenix thing again. But after Last Stand, you have to like go with the grain of salt kind of thing, because like, well, the last time they tried to handle this arc,
hopefully they'll be smart about it. They'll be like, we'll just like, you know, we'll take our time here. We might split into like three parts or something, but we're not gonna like cram it all in and make it terrible like we did that last time.
I think I would be semi okay with them like breaking it up into like multiple to like make like a full on actual arc. But yeah. They try to like cram it all into one movie. It's like, yeah, nah, guys, nah. You should have learned from your mistake this time.
I hope they release them in rapid succession if they do that. Yeah, like I don't want to wait a year between each one.
Yeah. It's like every few months. Because, yeah, otherwise it's going to be like, okay, this came out, and I have to wait until next November to see the conclusion. And I have to wait until
it all at once.
Like, yeah, that would be kind of annoying. Because, I mean, it's nice to know that she was semi in the movie, but at the same time, it's like, oh, I think you might have rushed this, because the Phoenix is a delicate situation for fans of the series. So it's like, you can't really just be like, yep, this happened, guys. This happened.
Like, I don't know, man.
So, the Phoenix part in the original, or like the 90s animated show, was like seven. It was a lot of episodes.
It was a miniseries.
they did like a first arc for just like the Phoenix alone, and then it's like there was a whole other one for the. It's like they just like it basically like its own like two seasons worth of stuff just for the for that arc. But yeah, it's gonna be. Interesting to see what they do, or if they even, because they never said they were, because Apocalypse was supposed to be the last one in the trilogy, right? I don't think they were planning on, they're not doing a sequel for it, are they?
Well, they have nothing planned officially, but they've talked about stuff like, oh, maybe the next one will be going cosmic, or they're talking about the New Mutants thing, and like cosmic, like that people are assuming that means the Phoenix stuff.
Because, I mean, what else would it be?
Avengers team up.
And could you imagine if that, like, if they managed to somehow keep that a secret until, like, the Infinity War thing?
Oh, man,
and it's like,
that would be insane. Patrick Stewart has been cast in Infinity War. But as who? As who?
Gosh. Could you imagine? Yeah, they wouldn't even be able to, like, they would kind of, like,
spill the beans on that, and just it'd be Spider-Man all over again. It's like, guys, you could have potentially had like the most gigantic like surprise
out in the movie.
You just ruined it. You just ruined it. It's like, so
yeah. All right. But we can talk Apocalypse after this, in case you people haven't seen it, because we all have.
Yeah.
A couple other news stories. So PlayStation Plus's June freebies were released. They include Gone Home and NBA 2K16 on PS4, the 12 episodes of Siren Blood Curse and Echo Chrome on PS3, and then on the Vita, you get Little Deviants, which was a launch title for the Vita, and also God of War Chains of Olympus, which is a PSP game. Mm. And I think that's the version you get on Vita. Those will be coming on Tuesday. So last week to get Tropico 5, Tabletop Racing, Bionic Commando Rearm 2, LocoRoco Cocorecho, Switch Galaxy Ultra, and the weird one, and God of War, Ghost of Sparta.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got... this was an interesting news story. Someone found out that if you run this is a song from Doom soundtrack, Cyber Demon, if you run it through a spectrograph, it has pentagrams and 666 running throughout it. It's actually really cool.
I was wondering what they meant when I saw the headline. So I was like, but it's a song, it's audio, how do you get a drawing from it? I was like, whatever. I
didn't bother reading it. You know, like, waveforms and stuff.
Thought it was, like, who, why? It's like, guys, I don't know why I'm gonna do this, but let's run the soundtrack through. It's like, why? What is, like,
there must be people who do that with every song. You know, they do like
there's gotta
like,
be some hidden magic here.
Yeah, they run there's like Pink deeper Pink Floyd behind this. Along with every film that ever comes out to see if it matches syncs up. And so, you know, they it's Doom and they ran it through. It's like, and then this time they actually found something cool and they were like, oh my gosh, that's so cool, let's post it on YouTube. And so like it's
those
on YouTube.
Past 10 years were worth it. Just for this.
Finally we found maybe the composer is the guy who does that, and so he was like, you know, I've been doing this for decades and I haven't found anything. I will make something for them to find. It's sort of neat. Like, people are basically seeing this as evidence of how much sort of care and stuff was put into making the new Doom, which is amazing if you listened to last week. It is amazing. The new Doom is so good.
Unless you don't get the day one update, then you're screwed.
Yeah, then it's like not as amazing, but gameplay wise, it's so fun. I guess that's all the news I had. Well, I also wanted to mention that, PlayStation Plus members right now on the store is, remember when everyone's complaining about how expensive the PS2 to PS4 games were?
I don't remember that.
Those are all on sale now.
It's probably because I was like in the minority of people who was like, well, if you compare it to virtual console games, it's actually the same price as a Super Nintendo game, so shut the F up.
Yeah, it wasn't us complaining. It was...
He did say shut the F up, I remember that.
In general, yeah. Well, a large number of them are on sale now for between 25 to like 50% off. And so it's like, yeah. If it's too expensive for you, wait until like times like these. this includes the Star Wars games, the Dark Cloud, or like all of the level 5 ones, so Dark Cloud 1 and 2, Rogue Galaxy, Ark the Lad, Parappa the Rappa, Fantavision,
pick that up.
The Grand Theft Auto trilogy, Primal, which just came out this week, is also on sale. That was a old school Sony Santa Monica game. And also Twisted Metal Black and War of the Monsters.
Take those
which
up.
Were from Incognito, I think the studio is called.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are all out. Twisted Metal Black and
is
pretty
really
cheap
good.
Now.
It's like
it was.
Man. Not a lot of card combat games can match it. It's got like a dark, super dark story stuff too.
Well, in all fairness, Twisted Metal has like an evil genie running the contest, so it's bound to get weird and dark.
There's a PlayStation E3 experience again this year. So if you live near one of the 85 theaters across the US and Canada, and I guess Latin America also this year, you can go to watch the Sony press conference in a theater and get swag and stuff like that.
I love swag.
Swag! And also, Power Season 2 has started. That started on Tuesday.
I watched three
episodes. I finally saw the first season.
I enjoyed it.
Oh, you already watched the first three episodes?
Yep.
Is the production value higher?
Maybe by like a bit.
Okay. It looks
more
like
special
higher
effects, for sure.
Yeah, well, it looks like, you know, there were some episodes of Power Season 1 which felt really low budget. Like, they all take place in very small sets. Like, there was that one episode that was entirely inside the police station. And the police station now looks, I think it looks better than, or like Powers Division looks
yeah, it does.
Better
it's
than
like
it
more,
did.
More drainer,
yeah.
Drainer cells. Those are pretty cool.
And then, like all the scenes that, with Johnny Royale, like it's always, he has like two rooms. And like, this is probably pretty inexpensive because it's
that's
just like,
that's the one thing
that
like bugging me about season two is like, what happened to Johnny Royale? It's like, they haven't said like anything about it. Like, they like mentioned him once. It's like, well, like what happened? Where'd he go? I'm like super waiting because like, well, he was here in season one, even though he's like a reformed villain. But I guess we'll find out or not.
Maybe he's dead.
That's a possibility.
Yeah, I finished season one recently. I was like, oh, it was really good. So looking forward to that. Do we know how long it's gonna be?
Nope.
It's like 1 through 3 is out now. So.
Did you watch just the first one or all three of them? Tropical.
I've only seen the first one so far.
Okay. There's a really weird scene in the second episode. I told Gamer, you'll know when you see it, and you'll know when you see it coming. Because, yeah. It's like, I wasn't expecting that in the PlayStation exclusive made-for-internet show, but hey, whatever.
Now I just want to watch the second episode just to see what he's talking about.
You'll know. You'll
know. I don't even want to watch the rest of the show just to see what he's talking about.
Like, I can't believe they went there, and they went there. It's like, oh my, oh my.
Yeah, that's all I got. Anyone? There was, like, I guess Tekken mentioned earlier, Ibuki is coming out end of July for Street Fighter V.
End of June, not July. But then again, it'll be, like, a day before July, so by then it's like, what's the matter?
Beginning of July.
Yeah, beginning of July, in Capcom time.
It's coming out this summer. Leave Capcom alone.
E3 is a mere 2 weeks away, I think.
13 days.
Yeah, maybe. So,
get excited, guys.
That is crazy. We should probably do like predictions and stuff.
Oh, we should. Yes.
Get your heart palpitation ready, just in case.
Wish, want, and surprise. Oh yeah, cannot wait.
They can't
there's,
even.
There's nothing left.
Man.
There's yeah. nothing left.
You say that.
Like.
You say
well,
that.
Nothing left for me. I mean, this one's like, I have nothing left. Like, I mean, everything I want is coming out this year, so it's like everything is basically just going to be a cherry on top. So,
I mean, new hardware is sort of it's like cool, exciting, but also sort of annoying. Oh, also, I guess the Xbox One is now $299,
yeah,
which unofficially.
Gotta move that surplus inventory in all those stores of that hardware nobody wants to buy.
Actually,
make room for the new hardware nobody wants to buy. I said it what? Whatever
you did. Mic drop.
So, yeah, I wonder if it's like, because, well, I don't know. You know, there's like rumors coming out that Microsoft is doing the new console, right? So usually when you hear something like that, it's like, okay, I'm going to hold off. And maybe, and you know, Sony has the same thing happening, but maybe like Microsoft is more like, we cannot afford to have less people buy our console right now. So we got to drop the price right now. But I don't know if that does anything. It's still $300, right? $299?
Yeah.
Here's just a half.
Definitely doesn't help when speculation is swirling because nobody can keep their mouth shut about, oh, new hardware, dudes. New hardware totally coming, and you'll see it soon, maybe. And then after that hardware, 2017, guys. 2017. Scorpio, believe.
Another new hardware.
Please be excited.
He's being excited indeed.
Hey.
How does it even happen? It's like, not only is there new hardware, but there's new hardware after the new hardware. 50%, guys. 50%. That's all we need. That's all we need.
They're all, like, new-ish hardware. That's the key.
Oh, good point.
Didn't have to make anything new. Just have to buy more expensive parts.
We forgot why we didn't use x86 architecture, but hey, whatever. We're stuck. This is the new normal. Yay. Oh.
You're welcome, everybody. You're welcome.
Yeah, like, as far as Neo goes, I think that Uncharted 4 being out and looking the way it does, like, that makes a really good argument for it's sort of okay to have two consoles. Because, you know, you have Uncharted 4 on your PS4 right now. Maybe it runs at 60 on Neo. Does that matter to a lot of people?
Well, it has to, doesn't it?
I don't think it matters, actually, to people. Or I don't think it will matter as much. You know, people are thinking things like, oh, Neo games are just going to look amazing, and PS4 games are going to look like crap. And it's like,
crap compared to what? Like,
I don't think that can happen because, look, Uncharted 4, you've played it. Look at it. How can you even imagine a game that looks better than that? I can't imagine a game that looks better than Uncharted 4. The only thing I can think of is like, well, I guess if the frame rate was 60, that would be better, but I can't, like, that's it.
Like, cause then wasn't the rumor like the games have to be 60 or something like that for Neo, or is that?
No, the frame rate targets are for VR, or like requirements are for VR. But like, yeah, like this is just like, I don't think I can picture something that looks better than Uncharted 4 right now. So, yeah, I think that is a pretty good argument for, like, it would be totally okay. Keeping your PS4 is totally okay. Unless you are so much into, like, higher frame rate. Then, yeah, fine. We have that too. 50%. The Xbox One, I think that hurts more. If it's truly like 6 times faster and it supports VR and it's coming out in a year. And, you know, I think most people bought their Xbox Ones after the price drop and after all the stuff happened, so it was cheaper, so no Kinect and all that. And so for them, it's not even since, like, I bought this system 3 years ago. It's like, I bought this last year. And next year, games on it really will look like crap because because the new one is way more powerful. Yeah. I think that one hurts more. So yeah. Wrap up. You want to do the scoreboard? I think we missed that last time.
Yes, we did miss it last time. So we've got RPG with 8. Tropical has surpassed RPG with 9, and Woo-hoo! Tekken still in the driver's seat in the leader position with 14, 5 in the disputed column. So, you know,
I don't even know why you're bothering with the disputed column. There just knows altogether. Like,
to keep track of how many more points I've had.
In the end.
Had RPG not been like, it's DLC. Doesn't count.
DLC doesn't count DLC. As a game. It's like, it's not. Standalone.
You buy a standalone, but it's not a game.
Oh my gosh.
Sure, you paid money for it and stuff, like any other
game. Doesn't matter if you pay money for it, it's not a game!
Yeah, the experience.
It's an add-on to an already existing game.
Doesn't count.
Oh my gosh.
Alright. So yeah, I think we're gonna do E3 predictions next week. So, what have we been saying? Please look forward to that. Please be excited for that.
Excited. For all the discoveries that were infinitely undiscovered.
So go find us on aimlesspodcast.com. Slightly edited, a little bit shorter versions of the podcast that you can download to your devices and listen to in some sort of convenient fashion. And all those places where you can click on like buttons and follow and stuff like that, you can find us there. Just Google Aimless Podcast.
It's like,
lost.
Yeah. It's like you didn't even need to do anything, really. Just Google us and then go from there.
Yeah.
You'll find your way with the internet. Exactly. You know how to use it, hopefully. If you made it this far, of course you do. Anything to say before we sign off RPG?
I don't know.
Oh man, there's something in my. Oh, let me get a nice breath of air here. Oh no, Hydra. Okay, so yeah, and then you know, like Charticle said, find us, you know, wherever on the internet, and you know, check us out, and you know, the Googles is a good place to start, and yeah, you know, may RN Jesus grant you amazing loot drops, and may your loot be awesome and stuff. And until you see or hear from us again, Aimless Babble Z, and we're now signing off.